Did you send an email? Did you cancel or something?
Yeah. They want us to anonymously submit questions. Yeah. Well, we're all here, so.
I wasn't included in anything anyway.
Do you want to read through it?
Thank you. On our first floor by the LA windows. Oh my goodness. Oh wow.
So they really canceled
it. So they really did due diligence and like buried so it in the end of an email.
Yeah.
And even put it out in the heading.
It is 4:56 when they got to the LA
I'm not for it.
Just kidding, we're going to dinner. 5 minutes for it.
When was this?
4:20. 4:20.
And you're working on this? What did I just say?
So if they cancel this, are we all going to walk up to the CJR? Don't bother.
How are you?
Yeah, 40 minutes ago, and it's like hidden like halfway down without any really notice that it was canceled.
Yeah. The CJ department has done good in this.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe you have questions for me. I don't know. So.
We're
going to
hold it anyway.
I haven't been able to be heard on campus. I asked for grievance hearings. They have been denied, so with no real explanation. So.
Well, I can't really deny this one. We're all here. So.
Yeah. So if you have any questions, I mean, this has been tough because, you know, I kind of go on with that for 4 years. It's been very hard. I mean, I could have just been quiet. This happens, you just let it go. But it's, you know, the way it was handled, I'm not, you know, I don't even want to say anything about that professor because that wasn't really an issue. When you guys have a concern, when you come forward, we should take it seriously. I mean, this is why we have student affairs,
that's
right?
That's your job as an educator.
It's my job, absolutely.
This is what they teach you in the school.
That's what I should do, and that's what I did. And, you know, and the student, you know, my first response was, well, you should let the chair know. And she was concerned about the chair because of, you know, some view problems, issues with the way the chair handled things. So I didn't really know exactly how to proceed, so I just told that student, well, I'll find out how to help you. I mean, I was first shocked, but I didn't want to jump to conclusion. Keep in mind, I was on the search and screen committee. I was actually chairing the search and screen who hired that particular faculty member. So the first, my first reaction was, oh my goodness, did we overlook something? Is there something? I mean, I was really hoping for an explanation because, you know, you don't wanna assume. I mean, I'm very proud of the Criminal Justice Department, of my colleagues and supportive of them. So my first reaction was, I hope there is some kind of good explanation for this. That was my first thing. But on the other hand, you know, I take it very seriously that, you know, when you guys have a complaint, it's the same if you are unhappy with how I grade a paper. So, you know, I would tell you, like, well, they are the student affairs school. They are, feel free to complain about me, because if I did something wrong, then it should be addressed. You know, I think, like, we all make mistakes, and I've made plenty of mistakes, and saying sorry isn't easy. But I think that's part of us being mature adults and doing the right thing, and that's what we want to teach you guys, right, especially in criminal justice. So, I just passed it. I talked to the dean without telling her, at that time, that was Dean Troop, without telling her what was really going on in details, because I didn't think it was appropriate at that point. I just asked, how do we proceed? And she said, take it to the Dean of Student Affairs. And so I did. I did it the next morning, and because our chair was not in his office. And I still informed him in the morning, first thing, and then I took it to the Dean of Student Affairs, actually talked to the Assistant Dean and informed her. And she had a very similar reaction than I had. Kind of shock, disbelief, and that doesn't sound right. And, you shouldn't have, whether it's male or female, nobody should have that, because it puts you in a bad situation, right? I mean, and I know how sexual harassment feels. I had actually an instance that you could, you know, I don't know, I don't want to compare, because it always depends on the person, right? But when I was sexually harassed in the police academy, you know, I was called in by my instructor, and he called me in, and he had a pornographic movie showing, right? And he had a glass of wine there and offered me a glass of wine. And I didn't know really what to do. It's just like I saw it in the corner of my eye, and it's like, this is really weird, right? And I was just embarrassed. I felt, you know, I just didn't feel right. And from that moment on, whenever I was out at a shooting range or anything else, I didn't perform well. I was very uncomfortable around that person. And so I know how it feels. I never reported, never, you know, I didn't know how to. I didn't even know that I had a right to report. And so I know how it feels, you know, just, and I want you, when something happens, I mean, that's just like the policy of our school, I thought, that you matter most, right? I mean, I came to Plattville. People often ask me, why did you come from Plattville, right? I'm originally from Germany. So I went to grad school in Southern California, one of the really biggest school in this kind of field, and then it was a research school, very focused on graduate students and research. And the nice thing is that but undergraduate didn't matter as much. Students were a number. You know, students were brought in the money for research. And so I looked for a school because I fell in love with teaching. And I wanted to go to a school where students mattered. And then I found the ad for Plattville. And I've never been to the Midwest, the Upper Midwest. Well, actually the Midwest period, right? So I kind of traveled to Plattville and fell in love with this place. This is like, this feels like home. This is good. And the first thing that I really remembered was you guys, students like you. I mean, there was just something about you. I don't want to say anything bad about students in California, because I love those guys too, but I don't want to say, that's something a little bit crazy, right? It's California. But I really, really loved students here. I thought there was something special about you. A lot of first-generation students, a lot of you, in California, we had students driving up in a BMW and a Mercedes, and then you park your little old shit next to them, and, you know. And in here, it's just people had normal cars, and, you know, and normal issues, and you had hardworking students, and I was so impressed with you guys, you know, and what you wanted to do. I mean, you cared about the field that I care about. You wanted to go into policing or corrections or forensic investigation or counseling, you know, I mean, social work. And you know, just, and I really like that. And there were also a lot of folks who been in military too. So I just really hands-on folks who wanted to make a difference. And that's why I came here. That's why I came to Platteville, from a metropolitan area to Little Platteville, right? And I loved it from the beginning. I could not have been happier being on this campus. I tell you, my first years here were amazing. It never promised. It wasn't by no means perfect. And you know what you heard, whether it was sexist department? Yeah, it was. You know, that's just no, yeah, it was sexist. But, you know, I joined a profession that, you know, was predominantly white male. And, you know, I came and went to California because I wanted to, from a town like Platteville, by the way, very white, middle-class town like that. And I went to, I got the opportunity to go to school in the United States, and I wanted to go to a place that would challenge me, that was culturally diverse. There is no other cultural melting pot like Los Angeles. I tell you, it's just like, if you want to be really pushed, Los Angeles County School District, 176 languages and dialects spoken. I mean, this is just, everybody feels like a little bit of foreigner, right? And I was probably, my accent kind of stuck out because it was, you know, there are not many Germans there. So I wanted to learn about people from different cultures because my passion was in the criminal justice system, and I saw that as the most important challenge for us to be culturally aware, because we all have biases. I know I'm going on and on, but you guys are here, so I'm gonna. And no, we don't have the forum. The forum is canceled, so I think.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that you knew. I apologize to everybody here.
This is Paul Erickson. He's our PR person, so he's the one that supports sports on campus and tweets a lot on that. So he's keeping us all informed and updates. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So, I just want to let you know that there will not be an open forum today. There's an email that was sent to you. There's a place there that you can put comments, concerns on the website, and hopefully you can follow that link. So.
Is there a reason it was canceled?
It's postponed.
So they're going to give us a chance to actually speak then, because I don't feel comfortable writing it on a website that it can just get swapped out of the room.
Okay. Well, if you put your name, I mean, yes, we will give a chance to.
I would like to just say in person. I think it's better to come off in person than in writing, because you can show your character and your enthusiasm and your passion.
And well, you can also have people follow up with you as well. So.
When did you say it was postponed to again?
It has not been determined yet. Hopefully, you can put your comments into the website. It's called uwplatt.edu/comments. That way, we can gather some comments and get your concerns and address them then. Okay?
What was the reason for the postponement?
I think that we don't want to get into a he said, she said, it's a privacy. We're going to respect your privacy, the privacy of our faculty and staff as well. Thank you. Apologize for the late notice.
The whole public open forum.
Is it an open forum?
Okay, but you have questions, so you know what? If you have questions for me,
winning.
You know, sorry, I apologize. I'm kind of like, you know,
right?
I'm a teacher, I'm a lecturer, so you get me start talking. So, you know, do you guys have any questions for me? Yes, please.
The email basically said you lied, so how do you feel about that?
I didn't lie. I've been told that I'll lie, that I'm disgruntled, that I'm mentally ill. I've been called mentally ill, you know, which was probably the hardest by someone who I had in my house and I considered a friend, right? So, and then a person got a pay raise and I got into a position without having to go to a surgeon screen, and suddenly you have the person against you. And it felt really betrayed, you know. But it's not a lie. I mean, I wouldn't be here. Would I do this for 4 years? I mean, sorry, Platteville doesn't pay that much. I'm an associate professor with a PhD. I make $45,000 a year. That's kind of, you know.
I guess, I told you to check on my Facebook the other day. I don't know if you read that comment that McNamara posted, but about the board that, I don't know if everybody knows, like, the board that all that has to go under, but do you want to explain that in case people don't, to kind of clear that up? Because I think that's a key.
The board? But
what were we talking about today?
Every experiment has to,
okay. Yeah, I can. I can.
Every experiment,
yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah. That's what I meant.
I mean, if you guys think it's, you know, a lot of stuff, there is a website where we have, you know, again, because I'm open about it. I think the positions there's a problem because a lot of people lied, and when you lie under deposition, you lie under oath. That's a perjury. Mm-hmm. And I have a real problem when people at a school and get promoted, and there is at least a alleged perjury, right? This is serious stuff. It's a felony in the state of Wisconsin. It's a felony under a federal law. So they have not been able to say anything that I said I lied. They haven't been able to prove it, but I have proof. And that's the reason. See, if I was just lying, if I was just wrong, why not give me a grievance hearing? Why not let me explain my side of the story, right? Because I'm not lying, because I'm a threat, right? Because that's the only reason when people, when you know, look at totalitarian systems. They don't give you due process because they cannot handle it. I mean, this is part of what makes us strong and special in this world, right? Is that we allow people to have different kind of opinions and also like to when they are accused, that they have a right to be informed of the charges, that they can, that you have to actually build the case against them, the accused. See, what happened with me, by I told you that they want to fire me, is because I was approached by a private investigator this summer during my 3 months off, right? Came to my house and then said, and gave me a letter from the chancellor saying that you did all these kind of things and now defend yourself. We want you to talk to the investigator in 3-4 days. And I was just, what? You know, and it was like, and, oh, you'll be fired, right? And so I said, well, so I looked into it and it says, like, where's the evidence? Where's any supporting material? And it says, like, you tweeted this, you did that, you and didn't have any. And I talked to the investigator and he said, he hasn't even talked to the person who made the allegations, which happens to be Deb Rice, right? So, didn't even talk to her. So it's like, isn't that a little bit backwards? I mean, I understand enough about due process in our system that when you make allegations, you have to prove them, not the person you make the allegations against, right? And this is in a CJ department. For goodness sake, people, wake up, right? So I kind of said, like, first, and then I said, like, well, do you have to talk to her first before you talk to me? And I said, like, well, that person is on 2-week vacation. 2-week vacation, it's now, you're back on contract. How is that person on 2-week vacation after 3 months break, right? That doesn't make any sense. So then actually talked to her and pushed, and I had to, and so I talked to the investigator. I have a recording of it, so that nobody says I lied, right? I have a recording, he says there is no evidence. I have evidence that that person defamed me. I have, including her confession, I have witness statements under oath. I have all that. There was an investigation done by the interim HR director that, by the way, did not get the position again, that said, yes, she acted inappropriately. Yes, that has to be addressed. And guess what happened? I'm the one that is threatened with getting fired and not that person, right? I mean, these are the kind of things. So if I really got wrong, then it should be so easy to disprove me. Right? I mean, it would be embarrassing for me if I was wrong. You know, 4 years, for goodness sake. The first grievance hearing I had, by the way, I'm sorry, I'll get to you in a moment. The first grievance I had, by the way, after the incident for retaliation, the grievance committee said, yes, you were wronged. This has to be addressed, right? You know what happened? The chancellor did not respond. He had 30 days to respond to it. He didn't. He missed the deadline. He had to go to UW system. And they had to call him, says, you're in violation of your policy. You had 30 days to respond. He didn't respond. He told the grievance committee, you guys have to reconvene and discuss this case, taking out every reference to sexual harassment, every reference to sexual discrimination and retaliation. And you came back with, you and the chair, you are, basically, Sabina Burton and the chair are equally responsible, not saying what I did wrong. I didn't handle that very well, as you can imagine, because that is wrong. You know, the whole time I asked, if I did something wrong, tell me. I will address that. Because maybe I'm just blind and I can't see what I did wrong. The HR director said, you didn't do anything wrong, and the chair shouldn't do anything that looks like retaliation. It's an email that by accident was forwarded to me, right? So people made some mistakes. I got some pretty good stuff, I tell you. I got some really good stuff. And that I, when they said, like, well, she lost the summary judgment, keep in mind, too, I had to get my own counsel. But it's legal counsel is expensive, as you can imagine. I spent $200,000 on my defense. Do you think I'd do that if I was wrong? Do you think if I'd do that if I wouldn't care? Wouldn't I just? I had job offers from other schools that would pay me more, and I didn't take them because I thought it's wrong for somebody who's passionate about criminal justice to run away from this. Okay, that's why I'm here. So I'm heavily outnumbered. I was harassed, and I make this, even though they may turn around and say, this is defamation, because I felt that and I have evidence. Somebody went into my HR records and changed my job title from associate to assistant professor. That doesn't happen by accident. And I have documentation because I have pictures before and after, right? Leave of absence records were tampered with. So there were things like, and then instead of what usually happens, that the HR department here comes to the employee and says, hey, you messed something up with your HR records, so leave an absent record. They called my attorney up because you know what? Every time my attorney is engaged, I have to pay for it, right? And I had proof because I had an email already from HR saying that all my leave of absence was entered perfectly, right? And then after that, I get the note. So these are the kind of things that happened to me that pissed me off, right? And it affected students, and that's wrong. And then that's when I really became more and more vocal. And it became harder and harder. But that's kind of, these are things. So I had to retain my own attorney. And the first attorney just wanted to settle. And I says, I don't want to settle. This is wrong. Because when you settle, you have to shut up and shut up for the rest, forever, right? I want this to be changed. I want due process. I want things to be handled correctly, right? So she didn't want to do that. And then, the easiest thing is, and the next attorney said, well, it's a difficult case. Because usually people in cases like that either get fired or they leave. You're still there. In 98%, people are not working there anymore. And so it's like, really, you make that condition for me to get justice? So he kind of didn't really do his job. There's a lot of, I actually filed with the Office of Lawyer Regulation because I think this guy did some really serious misrepresentation and violation of the Code of Ethics of Attorneys. So this is a different kind of thing, right? But I had to retain my attorney. They have UW Legal Counsel, a full-staff office on their side. And guess who's representing them? The Attorney General's Office of Wisconsin. And when I asked for an investigation into what I believed was corrupt behavior, you know what DOJ said, Wisconsin DOJ? We cannot investigate because of conflict of interest because the Attorney General's Office is handling the defense. Right? I mean, where do I go? There is an office for, it's called something like Abuse, Waste, Fraud Hotline. I wrote them saying, like, I tried to kind of address these problems that I really think there is something deeply wrong. I really think there also, like, there is perjury going on and worse thing, other things, right? Misappropriation of funds and so on. Like, somebody has to look into this. Didn't hear back from it. You know, then I called up and says, like, what's going on? You know, I sent this in a few weeks ago. You know what they told me? Well, we forwarded it to UW Legal. Are you seriously kidding me? They're part of the problem in covering this up. You cannot get this addressed in Wisconsin. That's wrong. Right? I mean, this is just not wrong. I cannot stand here as a teacher in the criminal justice department and not take offense to that. So please, then prove me wrong here, but do it in a fair forum. Show me where I'm wrong. What I've been hearing for the last 4 years, you're complaining too much. You're doing this. You're doing that wrong. And then the chancellor sends me a response to his complaint. You know what he wrote? Well, the complaint from Dean Troop to him, because at that point she was still dean, she filed a complaint with the chancellor after she was proven wrong that her accusation at a cancer class were wrong. Imagine that. I'm falsely accused of canceling class. And because I asked my students to verify and tell them this is a matter of keeping my job or losing my job, she filed a complaint with the chancellor against me. That's pretty freaking nuts, right? So instead of saying, until this day, I have not heard a story. Sorry, me. And the email says the following, said about that. You know, I heard you canceled class. I was told that you canceled class without permission from the chair. You will be disciplined. At that point, a tenured associate professor, I have my first sick leave, what I had to take, my first day of sick leave in my teaching career, I took on January 25th after the harassment from my chair became so intense and I just learned that my dad was dying. I kind of lost it. I couldn't come to school. First day ever that I didn't come to class. I had to cancel. So I don't have a record of canceling class easily, right? If you're my student, you kind of know that I'm really trying to kind of be there for it. I take that very seriously. You pay me to be here. So I don't take that lightly. I know that some of you make very serious sacrifices to be here. So I don't want to waste your money, right? If you choose to kind of sleep in my class, hey, you know, you're sleeping on your own dime. That's kind of like, you know, the rule is, you know, you don't drool and you don't snore, okay? So I'm okay with the rest. I mean, you pay for it. I think it's more comfortable at home, but this is it. But this is, so I was shocked. You know, I traveled to Germany on Friday night. I told my class, I think that's how it was leaked. I'm not saying that any students did anything wrong, but I told my class, hey, that was the weekend before finals week. I'm flying to Germany. I have to kind of also be there with my uncle is dying. My uncle is also my godfather. He was dying of cancer. I missed saying my goodbyes to my dad, who just died the year prior.
So what year was that?
That was in 2013. And when my dad died in 2014, December 12, 2014 is when I left for Germany at night, 9:17, did my flight from, yeah. At that time, it was, in 2014, Dr. Dalecki was the interim department chair. And he was somehow involved in that, but nobody came to him, nobody even asked whether it was true. Nobody checked, well, maybe was there an emergency going on. Nobody had the decency to even talk to me about it. I was just, you will be disciplined. So I panicked, I freaked, I told my students, you know, it's fine this week, you know, how do I get their attention? This is serious stuff, I may lose my job here. And all that because I helped a student report a violation.
Have you ever had a conversation with the current department chair about any of your experiences?
No, because the current department chair was told these stories.
There's a lot of people that come here to have the open forum and understand that that's not happening, but they came here to have some open discussion.
Yes.
I think it would be worthwhile to let other people speak. So if
yes,
that would
be great.
In the room,
yeah.
I'd
be happy to let that. That's good.
Rather than just
that's by the way Dr. Strobel's husband, so he's there somewhere. Mm-hmm.
I was also a criminal justice professor up until last
I actually think it's important that we're getting the backstory from you, not just going off of what the rumors have been. I think it's important that we hear from you.
I'd like for you to continue.
You don't mind.
I appreciate that. But that's, so you kind of see a little bit what's been going on in my life. But so I was accused of canceling class, and I came back, and my students, 30 students actually responded, which was amazing, within, I think, 12 hours. And then it was said by the first response from the dean was basically, well, they're just doing that because, you know, they depend on a good grade from her, right? So it wasn't even believed right away. And then a couple of weeks later, about 3 weeks later.
Hey, excuse me.
Yeah, if you guys are going to talk and you leave, we're trying to listen to her.
I mean, you're welcome to say whatever you know.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, so one of the things that if we look at the timeline of the articles, because that's really all I have. I don't have a lot of window into this. My wife isn't able to talk to me, just like she's able to talk to you all about it. The person who's meant to run this forum was the dean. There's a pending lawsuit that the university has, which is, now, I'm not going to defend the administrators here, feckless bureaucrats that really haven't taken action on a lot of this stuff and are not doing any consideration. But what I would say is that, you know, when you're getting this kind of story, it's very difficult to get a window into it unless you're really, really paying very close attention to the details. And you'll notice that all of the news reports that have come out about this have not had corroborating evidence from anybody other than
That's not true, because the court documents are public record and they were looked into.
Absolutely.
So you're not saying the truth here, okay?
Yeah, the,
because they had, during discovery, they submitted a lot of stuff.
The perspective of folks
so,
that have been affected by these things are something that is coming from a very different perspective. And I, honestly, I think what would be valuable is to really, if you were interested in really digesting this as a media exercise, which I think is really, really valuable, is to look at these couple of articles and sort of look at the timeline, right? When did the events that are recorded in those articles happen, and where are those folks? And one of the things that you'll notice that's pretty consistent in those articles is that the folks that, you know, did some pretty bad stuff, frankly, are no longer part of this institution or have been moved out.
Why would that matter?
Why is that?
So you're saying like it's all fine and dandy now, basically?
Yeah, you know what? The former chair was thanked by the dean for the incredible, wonderful service, whereas I was put down. And you know what? And your wife only became chair because I couldn't get the position because I couldn't handle problems on a local level, which means the retaliation I couldn't handle in my department. So your wife benefited from me being punished, okay? So you don't know much about this story, so you got to be careful.
Yeah, and
your wife wouldn't have this position.
I'm not, again, I'm speaking from the...
So it's very nice for you to say, it should be all just forgotten because these people left.
I
was harmed, and so were my kids, so were my family, okay?
From what I've heard from others,
thank you.
There's been a lot of people that are
dang,
harmed.
You know,
there are a lot of people that are upset. And this is not an open forum, right? This is
well, they cancel it, which means, like, if they want to listen to me, they have a right to do that.
Because they couldn't even give us
the
time of day except for before this to go
and
cancel it. So, unfortunately for the university.
What your argument was is that all these people are left or have been fired. There's a reason as to why that happened, and we want that answer.
They haven't been fired, by the way. They've been promoted up the chair,
got
1 year chair salary while not having to do the work. This is your money because your tuition pays this.
You can read the news articles. The news articles actually are clear about what happened.
I have. What you suggest?
So the only two that I've seen are the two watchdog articles that have been published. Is the one that was.
And why hasn't the university come out with a statement for the
CJ
students?
For the
CJ students.
I would honestly urge you to contact with the dean and the emails, but how can we do that if they're not even here?
Well,
because if you email into them, yet again, they could just shove it under the rug, just like they like to do a lot of things.
And the forum
trust
is
and believe. I've been in this position
until
before.
Really,
I have fought the university one time, and I'm not afraid to do it again.
They're not successfully, if they're trying to, they're not successfully brushing everything. And what I would say is that, you know, make sure that you put the pressure on these folks. If you want, we would love to.
Why? They
look really good at the front of the room right now.
They're not.
Look at all those people in the front room.
Yeah.
Folks that are running this university, they don't understand what's happening.
Oh, they do. Oh, you don't know. You're naive. You are very naive. They are behind that. You have no idea. He came on campus last year. He has no clue what happened before that. They came on June. His wife contract started in June 2015. He talks like they don't know anything. For goodness sake, I've dealt with these people from the very beginning. Do not tell me they don't know what's going on. You are very naive, or you're part of the problem here.
I mean, seriously, part of the cover-up. The university, you deserve answers.
Yeah, they deserve
and
justice,
they,
too,
and
due process.
Unfortunately, the view of the university has been that they can wait.
You know what they do? I have an email. Listen, guys, I have an email from a...
How long is it? 5 years
not
enough?
Yeah.
4 years, four and a half?
Four and a half, and we're just talking about this now?
If we are to bring this to the dean, would you suggest us signing like a petition or
that
something
exactly
to get numbers to bring it to the
That's
dean?
That's exactly what you should do.
Okay.
And you should, and you, I would, I mean, better would be to give it to the provost and the chancellor and say that you want to know.
Yeah, why would you give it to the provost?
The provost isn't going to do anything because when she was the dean, she didn't do her job.
But she got promoted for it,
yeah,
so.
No shit.
Nothing.
So, I think we can all kind of agree that us students are here because we support Dr. Burton. Is that a yes?
Yeah.
Okay. What can we do for you? That's what I want to know. We're all here right now.
You know, I looked at your support with kind of like, you know, being proud of you for standing up, but also having a bit of a fear, because I had students before that stood up for me, and they got punished, and one got fired for his position. And I know it says, like, it probably wasn't like that, but I have evidence, and I share the evidence with you. A former colleague here, so because of she reported sexual misconduct on campus, she was told that if she does not resign within 3 hours, she will not collect any unemployment benefits. And I have documentation, by the way, because she gave it to me. She had a little son. She was a single mom. She left because of that, okay? This is how the school deals with people who do not help put things under the rug. So that's, and that was before your time, so you don't know, but I have the evidence, and I'm willing to share it, because that's why she gave it to me. So what you can do is, I think, yeah, maybe ask questions, because, you know, 80% of the budget here comes from you guys. You actually have a lot of power. In the last, it may be even more now, because I think, was it a few years ago when the chancellor announced that we are now only state supported, which means about 17% of the funding came from the state. So you guys actually really have some power. And I've seen so many colleagues leave because they were harassed, and they could not take on the university because their legal bills are paid. And they don't have to worry about it. So they can take on whoever they want and drag it out as long as they want. And I have one attorney, and they have a whole battalion of attorneys who are very experienced in handling these kind of cases. And I still work here too. So I'm very vulnerable in this regard. So this is the kind of difference. But I think the more numbers you have, if you spread the word on that, and if anybody has a question, if anybody says, like, do not take my word at face value, for goodness sake. You know, just... I give you, if you want to see the evidence, I give it to you. In fact, there is at universitycorruption.com. You can view the documents, and this is what I submitted under oath and what the other side submitted. And you can read their depositions, and you'll be shocked how the people who run this place, how they talk under oath. And you will see the contradiction. For example, one thing that now Provost Troop said, that everybody in the department, except Cho Lomax, because she... He was punished for being on my side, by the way. Everybody but Cho Lomax, including adjuncts, complained about me. And I already talked to a few people and said, that's a lie. So there you go. You know, lying under oath is perjury. You know that what the provost said and what Bryce said under oath contradict each other? So one of them lied, because there are no two truths, okay? So I can give you one thing after Dr. Alecki said, I have him on lying under oath, okay? And I can prove it with phone records. But he said he did not call, he didn't have time to call, and look what my phone bill says, here's his phone number. That's not something that I'm making up. I have freaking hardcore evidence. I worked in federal policing. I know how to create evidence, how to get proper evidence together, okay? I'm not a freaking idiot. And I wouldn't be here if that was a lie. I would be freaking nuts to spend $200,000 if I just make this stuff up. I seriously think, and this is an appeals court, and I finally had an attorney who wrote a decent appeal. You can read it. And I wrote this and was submitted under oath, okay? I'm not risking all this, my family, all my stuff for this. It's because I believe in due process. I mean, this is why what I learned in high school, for goodness sake, about the United States. This, you know, that civil rights matter, due process matters. And I come here and I embrace that. I become a citizen of this country. And then I have to experience firsthand how due process doesn't mean anything in Platteville. It's the University of North Korea, for goodness sake. Because that's how I call it from now on. Because, and there's Kim Jong Shields and, you know, an Adolf Troop, because that's how they feel to me like, okay? Seriously. That's how it feels to me like. And that she got promoted with all that, and then I asked, she wrote a letter of direction against me with allegations. You pressured a colleague to house it for you. Valerie Stackman, who, by the way, under oath said, no, I did not pressure her, and she offered it before, and it never came to the house sitting. I was written up for pressuring my junior colleague to house it for me. For, you know, the one, Sean Lohman said, like, he never heard of anything like this. So I was accused of that, right? And then they made things up, and I could not defend. I can give you the whole thing. It's all actually, I can post all that. I'd be happy to post it. I asked for a grievance hearing. You know what Dean Format and Dean Troop said? I will not have a grievance hearing. I do not want to respond to that. You know what? It's on my record. It's my personnel file. On what kind of legal system can you get discipline written up and you don't even get a chance to defend yourself? And the same happened with the complaint, and the same happened with the recent stuff, and I'm freaking tired of this happening in a country that claims to be, you know, a due process and civil rights country. It's bullshit. Okay, first, I didn't have two former lawsuits. There is one. They combined the ongoing retaliation. There was filed as an amended complaint. So that's one. And why not? Because there are different explanations. One thing is, but the American Bar Association says there is pattern now, a practice in the district courts, especially when it comes to civil rights and retaliation cases, that they dismiss a lot of these civil claims in summary judgment. And the Seventh Circuit Court said that the court should have looked at the evidence and everything in the light of the non-moving party. He didn't do that. The judge didn't do that. He looked at it in the light of the moving party. And that's when you can look at the appeal and you can compare. You can look at what my attorney submitted before. He didn't submit my audio tapes. He didn't submit a lot of evidence. I called him and he says, like, what the heck are you doing? And then he said, like, oh, okay. And then he submitted two more things. And he said, I wanted him to submit more things that he omitted to submit. And he says, we can't do that because it would be too embarrassing. He didn't want to get embarrassed in front of the court. And honestly, what I believe is that I can't prove it at this point, but I wouldn't put it past them. And by the way, this attorney was charged with corruption before in the 1990s. I believe that he was bought by the other side because it's too much for the university to lose here, for the UW system. There's too much freaking cover-up, and I'm not the only case. There's, by the way, another lawsuit in there that also has been probably settled by Omar Chonu, a black professor in education, for racial discrimination by the chancellor, and by the now provost Troop. So this is not the only case. Another professor in music had something going. There are multiple cases, but it's almost impossible for a normal employee to take on the university. And the American Bar Association says, too, that district court judges are very quick to trying to get cases thrown out in summary judgment when it looks like it's a complicated case. They allocated 5 days for my case and probably would have taken longer. They want to hear cases that take 1 day because it's a lot of work for them. Okay, so, I mean, there are explanations. And let's just see what the appeal says. I probably would not have just brought up if the chancellor threatened me to fire me in violation of my due process rights, right? I mean, that has a lot to do with it.
David. Christina, we've known each other just a couple semesters. I'm new to the faculty. I joined last year, and I teach in criminal justice. And coming here, I've been in government for many years. I'm very sensitive to issues of discrimination and sensitivity and those kind of things. So I come on the faculty here and have heard the story about these things that have happened with the former chair and a number of people that had not acted properly before the present chair came. So I look at this. What's going on here? I've got to work in this department. Well, as I see it, those people are gone. That during this whole process, you were still granted tenure, right? I mean, they did not deny you tenure.
That happened before I filed my complaint, though.
And that you do have a suit before the university.
Correct.
So I also know working in government that when there is a suit going on, you've got a civil suit that all people are told by the administration to be quiet. That probably involves the department head. I don't know if it involves you or not, but that's how it is. So what I'd like to know is, how is this continuing? Is there things going on here besides what you have complained about in your suit that I should know as a faculty member?
Well, it's continuing for me because a fellow staff member filed a complaint with the chancellor, and I was threatened and that I could get fired for that. So yes, it's going on. So it's not just that's
so
the thing
are
is.
Are you suggesting that that faculty member was asked?
Not a faculty member, a staff member. Well, it's very suspect. Think about I'm a tenured faculty member. I think I deserve a little bit support because I've proven myself. So if somebody who is way, way junior to me or in Canada and files a claim against me with no freaking evidence, that a chancellor would immediately then turn around, engage and spend money on a private investigator from Madison, bring this person out several times, send him to my home when I'm actually off contract, just to harass me at home, right? Couldn't wait until the semester started. Sent to my home, and then the letter reads, well, you know, we're looking at this, we're looking into this, and you can get fired for it. For goodness sake, without any evidence?
So you're suggesting that if
they want to fire me, and they've been...
Number files a grievance that they shouldn't investigate?
No, it wasn't a grievance. It was a complaint. I filed a grievance against her. She could have addressed it right there because in a grievance hearing, both sides can discuss it. And that I wanted that because she defamed me. And to this day, it has not been properly addressed. I'm sorry. It's defamation when you say in front of other people in a public place, you know, if I would say, Dr. Stacey Strobel has a mental illness, that's defamation, right? And you would not like it. I don't like it either. It's horrible. You know what? If you want to take it as your prerogatory, I think it's absolutely inappropriate to do that in front of somebody else. And she said other things too that were very defamatory. And she's the one, according to the dean, now provost troop, and she declared that under oath, who was the one who said that I canceled class. And there shouldn't be any repercussion for that. Seriously, no reprimand? Because she admitted, Bryce said under oath that she was not reprimanded. So if you don't think that the administration is using people to get me out, then you don't want to see the truth. Because it's not really that far-fetched, okay? This is not fantasy.
I think that it's possible, and I'm just throwing it out there, is it possible that you may have said or done something to this person that may have generated their concern or complaint?
No. No, it's not possible because I helped it. But the only thing is that I did, she kind of on a public report about a study abroad trip that I organized, that I led, she kind of put herself as a co-leader in it, and she wasn't. And maybe she felt kind of offended that I was corrected, but I'm sorry, she wasn't a co-leader. She didn't do the work. I did it. Okay? You know, if you work on a project and then suddenly somebody else wants to take credit for it, you probably don't want this either. You know, or maybe you're just a generous, but it's up to you. I think it's wrong to do that, and I just corrected it. I didn't put her on, like, freaking liar, you kind of do this. I just asked them to correct it, and they corrected it.
So have you ever sent emails to the public, the faculty on campus that has accused people of being liars?
Of being liars?
Yeah.
No, but I, not about that, but I did say, I told the chair of our program, Dr. Strobel, that I do not want to talk to
him. Kind of emails about how many times
I feel like we're cross-examining.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he's doing. You know, it's funny. Somebody who has absolutely no clue. Listen, if somebody lied.
The administration is not giving you a window.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And as David pointed out, to some degree, you know, they can't. I mean, the details of the case, they can't really. One thing that is public to faculty, right, are things like the emails that Sabina sends out to everybody on campus about specific faculty members.
Who is everybody? And you weren't even there then. So it's pretty ridiculous because, you know, there's one email that I sent out to everybody from only the department. And that was one thing is because I complained. It was before you were there, before your wife was there. And that was in the FI department after we had the only two faculty members leaving. You were left with only adjuncts running the program. And I had a problem with it because I know that I thought that was wrong because adjuncts are not vetted. He didn't have to apply here. He wasn't going through a certain screen. He didn't have to present here first. He wasn't vetted. Adjuncts are not vetted, okay? Which means that's why we only use them usually to fill in. Now our department relies very heavily on adjuncts, and some of them are really great. I'm not saying they can't be good, but it's a problem because you pay for being taught by people with higher degrees, and we have people with bachelor's degree teaching, and I took offense to that. And I sent it out to the department. And what I suggested, I said, like, we should have an investigation in this. I think somebody should look into it because I think that you are wrong, the students. You know what I got? I got a hammer from the dean because how dare you threaten us. I didn't threaten, I suggested, right? And I had a problem that people left short notice when they knew that they already had a position somewhere else and they waited to the last moment to say they're leaving because it's unfair. Guess who's paying for it? You are, because there's not enough time to get somebody good, to vet somebody. And I took offense to that. And yes, I sent it to everybody freaking in our department. Not the adjuncts, by the way, only kind of like department and staff members, right? It didn't go out to the public. So they say a lot of things like this. They said one time, too, when I complained to the interim chair, when students came to me and felt violated because the FERPA FERPA rights were violated when the former, when a faculty member in our department just left graded work out in the hallway with your name and feedback on it. Students said, like, you don't want that for everybody to see. Nobody picked it up. So I had to get in and said, like, okay. So I kind of told the chair, hey, you know, that's not right. So-and-so shouldn't do this. You know what they said under oath in his declaration? That I sent it to everybody in the department. The email proves I didn't because the email had only has his name in it. So he freaking lied again. See, and you are kind of basing your thing on those stupid lies instead of ever coming to me, and your wife should have come to me because she was told over and over these freaking lies, and not once did she come to me. That's her job, not mine. As a chair, you come. I have, and you know what? She doesn't respond when you have a concern. I had a concern that she hired a personal friend from the business department, a student from the business department, to work on a grant application, a federal grant application. We have freaking 800 students in here. Can't we get and hire and pay somebody from CJ funds here in CJ? Why do we have to pay a business student? I asked her that. You know what she did? She forwarded the email to the chancellor so the chancellor could whack me over the head with it. Okay? So this is going on. So she doesn't respond.
Have you ever talked to her in person?
Yes, I did. And I tried to.
One of the things that you know about.
She doesn't want to talk to me. She told me it's beyond that when I tried to talk to her. She didn't want to talk to me. So talk to your wife about it. Yeah. She's and I understand she's pressured. She's pressured.
You understand that she there's a pending lawsuit. So when you
so what? This is new stuff. This grant application has nothing to do with the lawsuit. By the way, it's not included. The student thing has nothing to do with the lawsuit. It happened afterwards. And the misrepresentation on the grant. This is, yeah, he doesn't even know.
You just contradicted yourself by saying yeah. that she was going to go talk to, she should go talk to your wife.
Yeah.
Well, because this lawsuit's in play, they can't talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So what
they can talk to each other in person, but she can't respond.
Yeah, and she said beyond that, she doesn't want to talk to me.
What are you expecting to talk about? How's the weather outside? Like, have a grand old conversation like everything's rainbows and butterflies in the department when it's not?
And also having worked on the grievance side of this, the reality is what is happening. I also understand that
he doesn't know anything. He's just
I'm speaking to as administrator.
Yeah, exactly. When you first interrupted her, which you've done plenty of times, but you said that this should be for the student. So I'm trying to understand why you keep going back with her. Can she speak?
So,
and then
so
we can I finish?
Yeah.
Okay. So because I came here to hear her speak and then ask the questions that I wanted to ask, but you haven't really let that happen. So I'm wondering what your role is here. Like, are you just here to like negate everything that
yeah,
she says?
That's a great question. What I'm here to do from my point of view is my concern is that, you know, as media tends to do, right? Media tends to present a good story, right? And what I'm here to say, hey, you know, be careful about just sort of believing in media, particularly believing one side of.
She just said everything.
We just
want to
see
the whole thing.
That's
what we're
watching.
We're never on media, so.
That was the whole point.
You're
of the forum,
in here
no
more.
You're both sides.
I was supposed to be an open forum.
And that's the bullshit
the
side from the university
canceled,
that they're going to
so
give us.
She's the only one here, so I'm not sure.
Well, David is here.
He just came here last year. This has been going on for what? 5 years? 4 years?
4 years,
so.
Over 4 years,
so,
yeah.
Who should we go to?
It's just something that is now
coming up. I advocate for you to advocate for transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
I strongly support the idea that you all should hold your opinions. You should absolutely, I mean, the idea that suggested of drafting an email saying, speak about this. Like, you know, these folks have been silent about this for long. Let me tell you, I'm, you know, just from the perspective of knowing a lot of folks that the department's friends, this is something that hurts people. Like, there's a lot of hurt feelings. There's a lot of...
Aren't you hurt? You're hurt.
Exactly. But the thing is, the administration is just letting that linger, right? They haven't taken any type of leadership, right? The idea that our university is representing us well and doing good by the CJ department, no way would I support that claim. And I think that you all should hold those stories accountable. But I think you should also, I mean, I think this is an opportunity, I really do, to think about what you're consuming and be careful about the evidence that you see.
But you told us to go believe media, the two media sources?
Was that?
I'm sorry? You told us to go to the two media sources, am I correct?
Yeah.
And then go believe those and then...
No,
just
and now you're saying change your answer.
You're
saying
you consume those.
You believe them.
Right?
There's so many
countries.
We've
all read them.
Yeah, I know.
So we are skeptical, so we're here to
yes,
hear it from them.
And unfortunately, you're getting in a room with a bunch of CJ mergers. That's
not
the dumbest. In the email that was sent out, there are...
Here's the thing about those whole articles.
Yeah.
Is we came here to hear what the department had to say about everything that's going on, and then they don't show up,
yeah.
That's kind of a kick in the pants to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know what the problem is? Is this whole thing is just turning into a shit show, and we're sitting in the middle of it, and we have no idea what the hell is going to happen. And that's why we came to hear from the department, and we came, I'm thankful she showed up, because at least somebody came here to tell us something about what we need to hear. I didn't want to sit back and just think, I mean, we're going to be criminal justice students. We are students, but we're going to end the field somewhere. We're either going to be police officers. We need to know how to handle this. Actions speak volumes. They're not here today. Why? Is it because they don't want to live up and tell us what we need to hear? We want to hear both sides. And you know what? This is just ridiculous. And... You know,
you stop.
I get it,
condescending.
I can't agree more, man.
I get it, but at the same point, the thing is, too, is no offense, but I mean, I want to hear what the department is because they know more about it and the whole fact, and they held this forum for a reason. And then a half hour before it, they cancel it. Where the hell are we? What's that mean to us? Where do we go if we have a situation like this? Do we go to the department? Do we go to a teacher? And then are they going to be put through this for the next 4 years? What do we do? You know, it's just, we're in the middle.
And
they're
that,
not here.
And the fact that the department didn't show up today
speaks volumes to us on many levels, because we're investing our time and our money into this department, and we're expecting much more out of this department than what they're giving us today. So if people are saying you should back your department 110%, yet here our department doesn't show up for something like this where we need more answers and more information on what's going on, then how in the hell are our students supposed to back our department? We have over 900 students in our department. I work for the department, but working for the department is getting harder and harder as the department isn't showing up anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't back this department much longer if the department isn't going to give the students what we want and what we need. So
I also shouldn't feel like I have to either back the department or back Dr. Birch.
Yes.
Because I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think that's the mistake.
But I think that's what's going on here, like the divide that's happening. Like, I feel, I don't know.
Does,
I don't know if anyone else feels the same way.
I also have to say, like, I'm coming in as, I'm an education major. I'm art education. I have nothing to do with the criminal justice department specifically. I'm here because, like, I heard about it, and me going into education, I'm looking at this like, if I report something that my student brings to me, is it going to hit me? And that's something that we shouldn't feel. Like, it's not right.
We shouldn't have to fear.
So I would like to say something.
I'm sorry, a student was starting to talk.
The department. You're a new member of the department. I'm concerned about the department. That's why I'm showing up. And I think the reputation of the department is, isn't it? You can make a very good point. What's the learning for this? There is big learning. And having been administrator in the police field for over 25 years, I can tell you, you don't schedule a meeting and not show up, period. You don't do that.
Correct.
So somebody scheduled that meeting, and you got to hold the dean accountable for not being here. Stacy, our department chair, cannot come to a public forum and speak because there's litigation against the university. She has no doubt, I don't know this to be true, but I know how this stuff works. She has no doubt been taught by her dean that she must not speak of this case because it's pending litigation.
So
despite that, this is the kind of thing you're going to run into in your police agency. I've done these things all the time, folks, and that is that there's a complaint. We've got information about it, and the city attorney says, I'm sorry, Chief, you better not talk about this. I'm warning you right now, and the mayor is saying, that's right, Chief. That doesn't mean you don't show up. That means you got to show up, and you got to take some crap once in a while. That's what leadership is all about.
Okay,
just
Dave.
Like Matt says, you need to hold the dean accountable for not being here.
Yeah.
Dave.
Good point.
David. Okay, so you're a member of the department. I get that Dr. Strobel is too, but with this whole email that came out a half hour earlier, why did we receive it from Paul instead of Stacy herself?
Why was it at the bottom of the email?
And why was it at the bottom? And I mean, I get that with all of us as CJ students, with all of us as CJ students, we're told from the beginning to back. Okay, just wait. I'm talking. Keep your mouth shut. Please. Okay, anyways, as CJ students, we are told to back our department 110%. Yet, the only department faculty and staff that we have here right now is Sabina, yourself, Kaylin, Joe Lomax,
yeah,
and Robin,
yeah.
We have, what, six of you here? Out of how many do we have in our department? We have like 20 plus. Why isn't there more here? Why aren't they here telling us?
We didn't even know what was going on beforehand.
Yeah, no,
he was asking why we were here.
Yeah, I did inform my professor that we'd be here because they didn't get the email and they said that it was just sent to students, which I don't
So, and on that part, why isn't the department staff and faculty included in it as well?
Dr. Burton didn't even get an email that there was going to be a forum. We had to forward it to
none
him.
But one of the emails did address faculty, but none of them got the email.
Yeah.
Like it said students and faculty of CJ.
This is a great learning opportunity, and what you do with the power that you have here is going to be very important, because I'm telling you, this is not the way the world works. The world works where there's a complaint.
This is the world
works.
This is the field that we're going into, especially us women that are going into this field being
prosecuted. I mean, you all can interpret that. Right. I mean, if you think about why does it come from the press secretary? Right. Why does it come from the website? my oppressor carry my ass. This guy is not the representative of the dean, right? This is a representative of the highest levels of the administration, right? So the decision, you can infer, was not one that was made at that level.
So then why did this come from your wife? Why did your wife say that she was going to be in attendance as well?
In the email, right here.
It came from her personal school email
to
everyone.
Answering other questions that
she said that she was
going to
be in attendance today. I don't see her, but instead I see you, who has no representation of our department whatsoever.
She was probably advised not to be here, first of all. I just suggest that we keep respect between people because I think it's getting a little heated. But
if he would leave, but if you want to take action and do something productive, take the opportunity. Here you are. They called you all together. You didn't know you were having a meeting that was going to be focused this way. If you want to be proactive, productive, do that here today. You have the time. You're all together.
I'm sorry. You keep calling for transparency, and you keep saying to push for this. I'm personally an alumni that came to support and hear more about this, because I was deeply disturbed when I was here on campus. I heard nothing of the situation and was very disappointed that it was handled this way, because I have high things to say about this campus as an alumni, and now not so much. But it's just a really sad commentary that you keep pushing for transparency, and everybody says, go to your dean, email. Well, if that's going to result in a meeting being formed where a bunch of students did come out to address these things, and then it gets canceled 30 minutes beforehand, that doesn't put a whole lot of faith in anybody to then forward these emails to actually think that something will get done. That's the commentary that I think a lot of people are trying to get across here, is that, okay, yeah, we can do these things, but what good is it going to do if they're going to make the appearance and follow through with all these actions and then cancel it at the last minute? That puts a lot of doubt and just shakes up a lot of faith and trust in our end and in everybody else's end. So, I mean, yay for transparency, but at the same time, to have that rubbed right out from underneath you when you think you're going to get it doesn't instill a lot of faith and trust.
Especially for the alumni.
Because somebody decided to tell the people down the pecking order.
I get that, but then don't schedule it in the first place. If you know that you can't talk about it and you can't have this meeting, don't schedule it.
Well, the dean will schedule it.
So then
why are
you here?
But if Gormley scheduled it.
He was in conversation with her today. So we have emails that, we didn't know if the meeting was on or off or not. That was probably about 4 o'clock was the last time, and I didn't hear anything about it. I said, "Well, I'm gonna show up and see who shows up." So I show up here, and here we all are.
So then, if
you just said you didn't know at 4 o'clock if it was off or on, as of 4 o'clock it was on. It was already scheduled. We had a room. We had a time.
Yeah, I checked.
So how did you know it wasn't on? It was canceled at 4:20. So up until that point, it should have been on. You shouldn't have had any.
If Gormley scheduled this, why didn't it come from Gormley that we were having this meeting, and why did it come from Strobel?
She scheduled it.
So then if Strobel scheduled it, then that's my confusion. I'm having one source say it came from Gormley who scheduled it, having another one that say it came from Strobel, but if it came from Strobel, we got the email as students from Strobel's email, from Strobel's school email. As students, you trust your department chair that what she says sticks and that she's going to be 100% truthful with you.
And what was she told?
We don't know.
She didn't tell us.
She's not here.
Where's the transparency now?
What's going to happen, no matter what good meetings you have with the higher echelon, I'll tell you what they're going to tell you. They're going to say, this matter is under litigation. Dr. Burton has a suit against the University of Wisconsin. Our legal staff has told us we cannot comment on this until after the suit is had. That's what you're going to run into.
But then why did they schedule it?
They did it to look good. These are extremely educated people. You think they don't know
that? If
they're educated, they'll be more smart.
Okay, so, but if Dr. Gormley and Dr. Strobel knew that they can't talk about this since it's still ongoing, why did they bother to tell us this in the first place?
It was to give the appearances that they could care about student input and accept that input and make a change with it. So that's also why the cancellation was put at the very end of an email, hidden in there, so that it would still be like, look at this, we have this nice shiny email saying we're going to have this whole thing. But we're not going to mention, really, that it was canceled. No, we're just going to be like,
so Sabina, what do you want the students to do?
I think kind of getting, asking for answers. I mean, it's a big one, asking for transparency, because again, I'm not here telling you, you have to kind of believe what I'm saying at face value. From the very beginning, I wanted to show what I had as evidence and then contrast and have a unbiased, a grievance committee look at it on both sides. But the first two grievances that I filed, I won, guys, and then I didn't get any more grievances. And the chance I didn't respond to a single grievance that I won. You know, I had two grievances and then shut down, you don't get any more grievances, but we punish you. That shows everything but accountability and transparency. Because, you know, it was determined by a grievance committee that it was the way the interim chair was appointed was in violation of policy and state law, okay? But guess what? The chancellor didn't do anything about it. You know, these are the things that it's a problem with this school, because violated. And, you know, and that's the forum when the dean had no problem saying that, oh, you are unfit to be ever chair because you could not handle being retaliated on a local level. For goodness sake, I have to take it up with the chair who's retaliating against me? So that was my violation? That's for BS. I mean, it's, imagine, you were chief, right? If an officer would go to you and they said, like, oh, you were accused of harassment or something like this, and then, you know, a higher person says, like, from now on, you will not advance in the department because you couldn't handle it with Dave Cooper yourself. You went to an outside agency and you asked for help, for clarification, for a review. That wouldn't be fair. That's not how our system works, for goodness sake. That is just BS. And that's what they did, and that's what the university is. So I'm not asking you to decide of who's right or wrong. What I want you to ask for is for having it open.
What I would imagine happened was when you went to the state is that they were already representing the university, that the client is the university, and they can't be your client.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm asking for, you know, when I had the grievance and the dean just like said, like, well, you know, the one reason why Burton cannot even be considered, she said there was nobody qualified, able, and willing to be basically chair in the criminal justice department. And so it's like, am I Trude Liebau or something? You know, I'm a tenured professor. And so it's like, it's not that I'm eager to be administration. I'm passionate about teaching, okay? So that's really why I want to see myself. But for goodness sake, you can't just say, you know what she then said? You cannot be chair because you cannot handle things on a local level, right? You cannot handle retaliation on a local level. The other thing was Dr. Dalecki said, and by the way, he admitted it in a sworn statement that you cannot be chair because you don't know where the skeletons are buried. Right? He said that and he admitted it.
Is that part of the complaint that you were not appointed chair of the department?
No, it's part of the damages because it certainly affects my career. Absolutely, it's damages when I'm kind of on hold in this career-wise. Because, you know, maybe I had ambitions too to go somewhere else, just like Dr. Strobel had it. She was an associate professor like me. I mean, she applied for a chair position. I mean, this is a stepping stone thing. So I should be able to do the same thing. I shouldn't be disqualified because I helped a student report a sexual harassment claim. It shouldn't end my career on call. And it says, like, yeah, I got tenure. But you know that the chair actively interfered with my tenure bid? That I was punished for even putting in for it? And you know that I got tenure after a colleague who was junior to me and only had a master's degree and who got tenure before me, that the chancellor's office miraculously forgot about my tenure bid, and that Dr. Gates, the chair of psychology, actually had to intervene and says, like, what happened? And she said, my tenure bid was one of the strongest she's ever seen. And they didn't want to give it to me, but they couldn't keep it from me. Okay? So it's not that it was easy. I was punished for putting in for tenure. And you weren't there then, but I was, and it wasn't easy.
So the bad guys are gone.
Well, not really.
No,
they're not gone because the bad one bad person is provost now, okay? Just saying. No, they're not.
I'm just saying, if any of this stuff is contemporary, I want to hear about it.
Yeah. And the bad guys are not gone. They've been promoted. I mean...
But they're not in the department, are they?
Yeah, but they have a power over it. As a provost, for goodness sake, you're in charge of anything that has to do with faculty and staff.
Wasn't the provost the one that raised your concern?
She said the student was freaking biased. That's what she said in her sworn deposition. Read it. I have it on my on the site, universitycorruption.com. You can read the depositions. You can make a judgment yourself. You don't have to listen to me. You listen to what the other side said and see how crazy it is. One person then first said things and then suddenly everything was fuzzy, unclear, fuzzy, unclear, because the attorney said, shut the hell up. You're kind of damaging your cause. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's not just my stuff. It's everything. It's court documents, okay? I have audio recordings where everybody talks because Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin, allows in general, unless there are special rules or so, it gives you the right to record one-party consent state, okay? So I have that. And you know what? And just saying the bad people are gone, they're not gone. And I'm still hurting, right? And I'm still threatened with... getting fired with termination, right? I mean, every time it's like I want something or I want to, I mean, and people still, after all that, they were still making up stuff. Even now I was defamed. Somebody filed a complaint against me. Actually, Deb Rice filed a complaint on lies. She said I filed 3 grievances against her. I didn't. I filed 1. It's a lie. It's a freaking lie that can be easily proven. She lied in all this stuff. She said I tweeted about her. I didn't tweet about her. She's like, well, you guys are on Twitter on her stuff. If there's something, you can take a screenshot or something. You can save it. For goodness sake, she says, I uploaded videos on YouTube. I didn't do it. You're not going to freaking prove it. I didn't do it, but I tweeted videos. Right? I mean, recordings, because the student recorded a very damaging, by the way, conversation where the former chair threatened him. And then he was fired from it. And he was threatened because he violated a gag order. You know what? It hurts me. And the relationship with my colleagues has been tarnished because they've told lies. And you know what? And I kept my mouth shut in the department mostly. And that's why people just dumped on me. And everybody thought, I'm this horrible person. Because they believed the lies, and they told his wife lies about me. And I saw it, and I was told by others. It's like, they're going, and they're kind of working on her. And kind of, at least in the beginning, she tried to be fair, but, you know, it kind of caught up, because when the dean says, or the provost says, Burton is off this, then she follows. She does it, because it's either Burton gets off, or you don't get our signature. So, yes, I'm still hurting because of it. I'm supposed to, they call it constructive termination. This is to make your life hell at your workplace so that you leave. And you, I'm not, you know what, you lost teachers in the criminal justice department and in other places. You lost a lot. We lost, 7 people in 13 months. 7 in 13 months. And the department is already understaffed. You know what? And they replace them with adjuncts because adjuncts are at-will employees. They don't know where they're teaching next year. That's why Dr. Strobel's husband doesn't teach this semester. He taught last semester. He doesn't know when he teaches. Same as David Cooper. He's also an adjunct. He doesn't know whether he teaches the next semester. There's no guarantee. It's at-will employees. And they do that because they can control them, because if you don't keep your mouth shut, you're out like this. And that's wrong, because then you have nobody standing up for your rights. And you know what? And this is not the only case. Look in the newspapers. Look in the news. And there's Baylor. There are other cases. This is not unique, guys. This is not the only case. Imagine how they're freaking out over a sexual harassment thing, right? Over a note. You know, if a student would have come to me and says, like, I was raped, do you think they would want to blow that up? You know, and actually students were raped, and one student told him, came to me and says, like, it was blamed on her. Just like the student who was sexually harassed. She's too stupid to understand. It was just an experiment on a demonstration. You have no right. IRB, you asked about IRB? Mm-hmm. Internal Review Board. when and this is anybody who has done research, anybody who has a PhD for sure knows it. It means whenever you do experiments, when you do questionnaire surveys, right? When you do a qualitative or quantitative research, you need, they call it human subject approval. We have an IRB board here that handles those kind of approvals. When you deal with adults off campus, and it's not a sensitive matter, you usually can get an expedite approval process, which means 2 weeks. If it involves students or minors or very sensitive matter, it is 4 weeks. And you have to demonstrate that you have a you know, briefing and a debriefing, and that you make sure that people are properly informed so that, you know, imagine like you make an experiment with sexual harassment with somebody who's been raped before. Do you think that traumatizes that person, right? Or if you kind of like press buttons or check on whether, you know, you can be kind of breaching some kind of normal norms when somebody is maybe suicidal. Do you think that might be a problem? That's why we have IRB approval in place. And the person who did, quote unquote, the experiment, because that's the official story, right? Now, by the way, that wasn't the first response from the dean. The dean said it wasn't a breach experiment. So she changed the story.
Okay, so now what? This is what I'm thinking, and I'm thinking this is what majority of the women are thinking in this class. What happens if we are put into that situation now? Because now with this going on, how are we going to be able to trust anyone in our department to go and report this or do anything with it or take our case somewhere else? Because we're only students. There's so many of us on campus. With what's going on now, like, how does that play? And we won't be able to trust anyone in our department. Like, I won't be able to go to Kaylin without fearing what I'm telling her is going to basically get her stripped of her job, or telling another department staff, or telling my own boss, Sherry, if I go to her and be like, hey, this is what's going on. With me just telling her what happened, she might lose her job just as much
as
you.
If she reports it, yes. And actually, there's still, and I've been fighting this, by the way, for 4 years now, because about 2 weeks after the student sexual harassment complaint and that I passed on, the then chair, Dr. Kaywood, came out with a new memo, a new policy, where he said, like, you know, when a student complains, they have to be taken to me, and I will interview both sides, and I come to a decision. And I asked over and over that this policy would be removed, and to this day, it's still on the books, okay? So that's how our department was briefed. It was never debriefed. It was never addressed that, no, this is not how it goes. You know, especially with sensitive matter like that, we should be able to take it outside of the department. And you know what? In all, I trusted that student affairs would be fair to the student and to the professor, because they are, you know, a chair is supposed to represent faculty and staff. This is their primary purpose. You know, not so much the students. That's why we have student affairs office in place, to have an office that has your best interests in place, right? That's why we include them, because there is often a conflict of interest. Yes.
So would you recommend, so let's say there is something, would you recommend that we go directly to, like, campus police at that point? Because it sounds like the system that they have in place now, it makes no sense to go to our department.
Exactly, because... Because at that point,
they have to go to campus police's jurisdiction, so they actually do. You actually would have to go to campus police here.
But with that being said, us as women, if we're violated anyway by like a professor or a faculty or staff member or anywhere else, we now know that if we go to any one of our professors, so if we trust Joe like I do, and went to him and I told him, I would be fearing that I would be making him lose his job because I'm telling him something of personal matter. Or Kaylin. If I went to Kaylin and I told her this is what happened, I would fear that I'm losing her job more than I'm feared for my own safety. I've been in that position.
I'm not afraid to lose my job.
Okay, well, we've got one. But I mean, not just saying we've got one professor, one faculty member who is willing to risk losing their job for us reporting. But if this keeps happening and we keep reporting, we're going to be down to an apartment of none. Mm-hmm. And this isn't right.
It shouldn't be that.
This isn't right. We shouldn't have to. Women are on this campus. I guarantee that every single one of women in this. Sorry, that made no sense. But I guarantee that every single woman in this room fears walking alone on campus or fears walking campus in the daylight or in the dark. Sorry, men, but that's how it is. The ratio is outrageous, and that's how we are. That's how it is for women. But with that fear in our mind and us now knowing that we can't go to department staff and not fear them losing their job, we basically, this is basically telling all women that we need to shut up and not report it, because we're going to get people canned, and we're going to get blamed for it, and we're going to get all this other stuff done on. Like, I'd rather sit and wallow in my own room about it than go and fear getting you your job lost and putting you in that position and getting all the blaming of victim. But that's what's But that's what's happening to Burton.
Well, that's what she said happened to her, yes.
And somebody else in the department and
that doesn't mean
was fired for it too.
My fear is that you wallowing in and I realize that it's truthful, but the fact is that everything's been, since I've been here, I've been listening to a downtrend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to leave everyone here walking around with their head, you know, sunk, a chin in the chest, and that's not going to build anything. And so I haven't heard the building blocks for bringing about the change you want to see. I've listened to the whole thing, and I think that there needs to be, what do you want to do? What do you want to happen? You want this plane to fly? What do you want to happen? You can't keep building if the only thing you see is down. Then it's going to be a lost cause. I think you have to look at what steps can be taken. You should have some incentive, some motivation to build on, as opposed to saying, okay, anything I do, wherever I go, whatever, is going to fall through and everything can go to hell. I think you have to be optimistic. You have to be looking for something. You have to have something that you want to achieve or a direction you want to go, even if you want to take the same group and call the dean down to here, whatever, whoever's missing, down to here so you can talk to them as a group. You could do that if that's what you like to do. You've been told it might be in litigation, they may tell you that, but at least you have that answer. If they say, well, we can't, the lawyers say, we can't talk to you, well, that's fine. At least you have the answer. But thinking that you can't talk to anybody or whatever else and you're gonna fall into a deep, sharp pit, dark place, I don't think that's going to be healthy for all of you to be walking around thinking that. That's my personal opinion. Go ahead.
For me, I mean, I definitely feel something definitely was wrong, and things have been definitely handled wrong on your case. And I know we can't really get into, like, legality or anything with that, but how do we go about getting the dean here? Like, I want the dean to be here so that way we can voice our opinions and possibly open his eyes up to what it's like for us. And, whoever. But I'm just saying, I don't get it. I mean,
You just said it. I mean, you can write what you just said, right?
Yeah, but
we get petition?
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying the dean will honor it. I'm saying you can ask it though.
Yeah.
Okay.
I get it.
You can request it. You're a group of people. You can request it and sign it and send it to her. And she turns it on. You turn it down. What I'm saying, you're not hopeless and helpless. If you feel that way, I don't know. I mean, you're going into criminal justice. Are you? And you already feel hopeless and helpless? I'm serious about that. If you feel hopeless and helpless, you wait until you get out there and you got people who are really, you find out that you're several, many levels above some of the people you're going to have to deal with and pick up, okay? And you want them to go along with the law.
I don't feel hopeless and helpless. I'm just saying that I feel in a situation like this, the department needs to come here to kind of show that they support us still and to show that they need to save their prestige and honor for this department. And right now, the way things have turned, it's like we're beating a dead horse right now. I want to get some answers and I want to explain and express my opinions and get something actually done. Right now, we aren't getting anything
done. I like the way you talk, because if you've written that down, you can submit it to the chair.
I hope somebody recorded it. I really do.
I think you made a very positive statement for doing something positive.
For doing something. I want to see something proactively done.
Okay, this is not my I'm just gave you an opinion, but everybody's got their hands up. I guess I can call on you. Go ahead.
I
was just going to say, I struggle with how we're going to change the dean's mind when I have a friend who was drugged and raped, and she went and talked to the dean, and he blamed it on what she was wearing, and that she wasn't...
Not Dean Gormley, though.
Then they said that they weren't going to do anything to him because he was with good academic standing or something like that. So...
Yeah. This is the rape culture we've been seeing on the news for the past year.
So just think
sexual
assaults and things are
going on. And that's what's going through every single woman's mind on this campus. Yes. With a campus that is 3/4 the way filled with guys,
we're told it's our fault. We shouldn't dress proactively. We shouldn't be out late. We shouldn't be out by ourselves. We shouldn't drink.
I'm sorry, but if a department is going to, if they're not going to help us and they're not going to back us and we're just going to get slut shamed again, what's the point of even saying anything?
Well, it sounds like a group of you have that issue. Again, I say, put that issue before.
And my other problem is...
I think if you continue to do that, they can't continue to ignore you. I feel they can't continue to ignore your request, especially if enough... It impacts a university if they tend to ignore a large number of persons and repeatedly. It's going to have some impact on the university, but also on that person.
My other problem is, as a psychology student, I had to go through 2 courses where we had to design an experiment, get passed from the IRB. If we didn't debrief our subjects, we failed the course, and we could have got expelled. Why wasn't the faculty held to the same standards? I'm just a student performing a measly experiment about how does the music help you study. And if I don't debrief my subjects, I'm getting expelled.
You know, sometimes when you guys express it to me, it sounds like a good thing if you'd written it down. You're expressing it to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yes, go for it.
I think we should all just comment on that website, and if we all just blow it up with everything that we feel.
Because it says anonymous, but I think someone said you could write your name in. So even if you put a nickname, just so they know there's a name tied to
people,
the word coming in.
Okay, people are waving at me. I just have an opinion. I'm just a guy who spoke up, you know. I'm backing down. You guys want to... No, I really don't want you to leave here, though, in that fog. That's the reason I spoke up. I think...
I'll tell you what I am willing to do, having heard what I hear here, is that I'm going to carry this back to the CG department. And I want to make a recommendation that we are dealing with the stuff here. You all are invited to come in here, and that any faculty is in the process of getting from this meeting, and let us give a chance to assert ourselves as to what we need and what's important for you, the students, and what our job is like.
Can they make that known to the rest of the school? Because when you just tell them, you plan it, and then they'll cancel.
But also, let me just interject this. Also, I think that, yes, making the complaint and some of the other things is great. However, there may be reasons as...
It's okay, Joe. My name's Matt.
No, I'm talking about... David Cooper.
We've only known each other for
years. He's got several titles, so I was stuck with titles, okay? But I think that those persons should have a chance to address the group, and I think that you should get whatever it is, at least some civilized number of types of questions and things, and also allow that person to respond, because maybe if I can't, because of legal reasons, respond to you, I'm going to tell you that, because then I have problems if I do, Sergeant Clark. Okay, and I may lose my support in terms of the university or the attorneys or whatever else, and it may jeopardize the overall case. Not that I'm, not cooperative, but we when you have attorneys, they kind of tell you what to do, okay, and how to go about what your steps and stages are, right?
Mm-hmm. But what can be done is, I mean, addressing fears and without really commenting on a case, and I think there are fears, you know, when students have a concern. And I mean, one thing that also happened, you know, there was a student who appealed, was unhappy with a grade that was assigned, actually by me, right? And the former chair just blindly didn't want to read the paper and just like, no, I support her. And I took offense to that because I said, like, you have to read it. I don't want somebody who blindly signs off on it because I really believe in your rights. And I'm not afraid of somebody else looking into it, whether I did it correctly or not. And I think those are things that happened, and that affects others. And if we have transparency, if we have way, we're not having to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of reporting, and you're not getting blamed for it. And we don't have, as faculty staff, we don't have to worry about passing it on instead of keeping it under wraps. You know, this has nothing to do with lawsuit. You can address that without anybody having the fear of, you know, I'm not, again, this is not about deciding my case. You know, I'm not here that you decide whether she was right or wrong or anything. That's not, you know, that's not up to you. I let you look at the evidence. You can form your own opinion, but this is not a court here. This is just, I'm concerned about what has happened. And I'm concerned about the many people that we lost because of the lack of transparency and what's been done, you know, how people are treated. That's what I'm concerned about, because I see an exodus of quality people here. Mm-hmm. And it's changed, right? I mean, ever since I started, I enjoyed it at the beginning, and the administration, new administration that came over is, you know, I'm sorry, they're bullies. They really are bullies. And what? One of the big reasons why that we wanted a provost and a dean that isn't a bully and takes care of the bullying, and it gotten worse. And that has to be addressed.
Well, one of the things I wanted to tell you right now, I'm feeling better because Professor Cooper down there has already agreed to take this back. I mean, so you've got one positive step right mm-hmm. there. But I think also if you have a number of questions, it'd be good if you could come up with a number of questions so it would limit it, and it doesn't seem like an all-out attack and you're going to get some results. If you had some questions, you could even submit them beforehand or have them available. Not that it would limit you, but at least it would kind of give some direction to the meeting. If you're going to have a meeting, it would give some direction to the meeting and maybe include some of those things that are of most concern to you, okay? So I think that's a positive step. He's had his hand waving. Go ahead.
I just wanted to follow up on the idea of the submitting through the website that they've set up. So I want to echo something that was mentioned earlier. You all have every reason to be skeptical of that, and don't think that's the best resource for this. Absolutely, blow up their website. You know, shut it down. Like, overload it. But make sure that you do something public if you're interested in transparency. The folks that are responsible for this really aren't going to respond unless you do something public, even if it's university level public. But just make sure that you're making sure that, as Joe has said, as David has said, do something that is active, positive, and public to hold folks accountable and make sure that they're transparent.
See, the problem, though, is with the website is that probably, and unless a board, message board, those messages will not show up. So they can totally deny that they got a certain number. They can give you whatever feedback. So if that is not here overseen by an department or person who really handles it fairly, you know, they may just swallow some of your comments and just say, like, oh, and there were a lot of people who were kind of totally happy with the way we've been handling it. Because how do you know how many? They may just say, like, they got only 10 comments. Because stuff like this happens, in fact, happened in the past. Happened with me. Like, everybody complained about you. And then you ask around, it's like, really? And then people say, I did not. And in fact, like, I knew some people who were very upset the way what's been going on in the department, right? So they kind of say these things. Blanket statements, and you cannot control whether they're true or not.
Let's just remember, if you really care about this thing, you'll do what other students have done at other universities. And that is, you will go to the dean's office, or you'll go to the provost office, and not saying you should do this, but I'll tell you what other students have done in another university, and occupy the office until you get the answers that you demand. That has worked. I was in Madison for 21 years. I know that works. I've been on all those demonstrations. I've been at the chancellor's office at the University of Wisconsin. I was through the student strike when the teaching assistant struck. I mean, that's the way you get visibility.
And let's not forget what the real issue is here. So if we're gonna do something, like actually do something that's worth something, which I think we should do, and a petition, I think that's a great idea. But two things gotta happen if we're gonna do something. One, we can't let ourselves be distracted by trivial things. Like, I don't know, we talked for like 30 minutes about emails, who sent the email this. Between that and Hillary Clinton, I swear to God, if I hear the word email one more time, I'm going to shove a pencil in my eye. So we can't let ourselves be distracted from the real issue, which is, like, you know, being able to report sexual assault and not be afraid to do that. Like, if we let ourselves get distracted by these trivial things like emails and this and that, then the department or the administration wins because, like, the powers that be, they want that to go away. They want sexual assault, all that stuff. They just want that to go away. And if we're focusing on smaller things, then that doesn't really get addressed. The second thing, I think, is to not let it die after we leave here. We're all fired up right now, which is great, but how many times have you said you would do something one night, and then you left, and it died, and you forgot about it? So don't let it die after tonight. Like, do something, you know, get an email chain going. I hate to use the word email, I swear to God. But I don't know.
Facebook page.
Someone jump on that. Someone tech savvy, do that. Jump on that. So don't let it die. Otherwise, we're just going to be the lazy millennials that they paint us to be if we let it die.
As Professor Cooper said, he said you could go to the dean's office or whatever and make your demands.
Go after the provost.
Some
students have.
And make your demands known. What's built into that statement is you have to know your demands. Do you get it?
Yeah. This coordination is needed.
You can't call everybody, have a different view and make any kind of sense or any progress for that matter. Okay? So you have to figure out what are the things we want to see them address.
Well, while we're here, why don't we make a list?
Well, hey, I said you know positive things, so I'm backing out. I've already said too much.
If we sign a petition, who all gets to see that? Because there are professors that Sabina has mentioned that I have. Like, if that professor sees my name, how's that going to affect my grade? Like, mm-hmm. I want to graduate, but I want this mm-hmm. to be.
A professor cannot hold you accountable for you signing a petition.
But it's so hard.
These things have happened. So I definitely see her point because it happened. I mean, it happened to a student. So.
I'm going to tell you
something. Your time to shine, you.
Yeah.
I was supposed to leave. If you expect life in your career to be smooth and you're not run into some situations where you got to take a stand, then you're in the wrong field. I don't know what field you'd be in, really, because you're going to run into some things, okay? That's just the way life is. You're going to run into some things where you have to make decisions, and some could cost you. But you have to feel strong enough about whatever it is that you're willing to take that risk. And like Forrest Gump, that's all I got to say.
Life is a box of chocolates.
So one thing I can say, I'm Matt, by the way. I'm not a CJ student. I'm an SE major, actually, but I'm the student body president, so I work with Student Senate on campus. And we are a fairly small group, but we are elected officials, and we are representatives of all of you. So Student Senate would be more than happy to take this on. It's another way. I don't think it replaces the petition, but if it comes through Student Senate, it's not your name on the paper, but it's Student Senate's name saying, mm-hmm. we request these things. We request a formal meeting. We request answers to these issues. You know, those are letters that can be sent to the provost. That can be sent straight to the chancellor. I do have a relationship with the chancellor. You know, whether or not he'll hear me and whether or not he'll respond to it is a whole different story, but Student Senate can be a way to get your voices heard. I have business cards here. You know, I don't know if somebody wants to take charge and, you know, kind of form a group here, and we can move from there, or
unless the referendum passes and no student senate will have any power. But luckily that hasn't happened
well,
yet.
Well, so, yeah, to be clear, our power is basically assigned by the chancellor, so there's no, like, formal legislation into this power. That was removed in the last biennial budget, actually.
All at once.
It was. So our power lies in the power that the chancellor gives to us, essentially, is what it is. And so far, cross my fingers, we've been very lucky and fortunate with that, and he respects the voices of student senate and our student leaders, but that's why I put that disclaimer on there, that he doesn't have to listen to us, but, you know, it's a way into the office, so to speak.
So should we give you things right now, like our concerns, that you can write down and then take to the Senate? I think that's what we should do. If people have concerns, to raise their hands, that we can write them down on a list immediately so that we get that out of the way.
That would be fantastic.
So, like, one of my concerns is that we should have a forum where we can hear at least the department tell us their side. I don't care if it does end up being that they come and tell us that we can't because of this legal reason, but I want them to be here and accountable that they are at least making the effort to do something for the students.
And it shouldn't be canceled 30 minutes before it's actually supposed to be held, and people have gathered already to discuss this.
Cancellation fees should be imposed.
I think another big concern is that the department and this university protected a sexual predator in my eyes, and he's still teaching. He's at another university. How many other people is this going to happen to?
Mm-hmm.
And how many people has it happened, and we just don't know about it because nobody wants to report it?
We had another case of that, and unfortunately I was again the person reporting it because a student came to me to ask me for help, and that student was a rape victim, and she was raped as a child, and she was sexually harassed by another male professor. And I, again, was the one bringing it forward, which didn't exactly help me with my standing with the administration, as you can imagine. So
that's one of my biggest struggles, mm-hmm. is why are they going after you instead of him?
Well, I want to know that if I report a sexual assault, it will be taken seriously, and no one will face retaliation.
And I feel like beyond that, I feel like we've all been taught, I've been taught Title IX in at least two of my classes.
Mm-hmm.
And now we actually have an issue with Title IX, and now it's being shut down like it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you teach us that this is serious and that we need to take this seriously and then have it happen and say never mind?
Mm-hmm.
I'm seriously concerned about the new rule that Sabina was talking about in the CJ department where all assault and harassment cases need to be brought to the dean. Because I think...
The chair.
Whoever they are most comfortable talking to is the person that they should go to, because that's going to encourage them to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that makes
it It's a department-level policy, and I... Yeah.
What is he even there for?
What do the other departments look like?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know, too. Mm-hmm. Are we the only one that has this, or is it
yeah.
every department has this?
I was going to say, like, being from a different department, I haven't heard anything, but that also doesn't mean anything, because we didn't hear anything about this for so long.
Yeah,
so,
I'm from
computer yeah.
science slash media studies. No, I didn't hear anything. The only reason I found out is a friend shared it on Facebook and told me in person.
I was an FI student at the time that this stuff was happening. I'm now an alumni, and I heard nothing about this. There are multiple alumni in this room, and we heard nothing about this until like 3 days ago.
I had him for a professor after the fact, and no clue.
I had no clue.
I had him for a professor while this shit was going on, and
no clue.
And it was,
that is bullshit.
Once you first hear about it, you kind of take a step back. Like, do you want to defame that professor, or do you want? And I really didn't want to like actually think this was true, but yet I still have to be taught by him. And I'm like, this isn't really sitting well with me. And it's just weird, because I too was also here when this first started. Should be an alumni, but I'm still here for 5 years.
6 years.
No, we're done.
I think another thing that's really important, and I know that kind of would benefit me too, but I think with this all, when there is, when we have something like a grievance or when we feel unfairly, you know, whether it's a student who feels like they're, you know, that you need to appeal something or so, then you should have that right and you should be heard. And we need to have that as employee too, because otherwise when this happens and then we are now at the wrath and we're kind of getting punished for it, I cannot take it anywhere. I mean, I get punished and then I say, like, can I defend myself? No, you can't. Shut up. And, you know, and this is now in a personnel folder and it's piling up and getting more, and eventually we can fire you on that. Well, how about listening to my story? If I can defend myself against it, I should have a right to do that, right? I mean, just like, and that has to be available to all of us, whether you are an adjunct, whether you are a staff member, whether you are faculty, whether you are, you know, just like in administration, whether you're a student. I think that's called due process. And we can't just, because it's University of Platteville, we can't just set that aside. You know, this is just like what we're standing for, even if it's uncomfortable. And you know what? If you're wrong, then you will be proven wrong, as long as the people who are reviewing a file are objective, right? If they are biased, then, you know, that's a different thing. But then you should be able to appeal to another institution, and you should hear it.
I think maybe something else, then. We hear a lot about, like, sexual assault. And, like, they send out emails, like, this is the thing that happens, and warn people about the dangers and warn people to be careful. But I think what we need is to be taught exactly like where we need to go, what we can do, and there needs to be a spot that like the campus has to tell us if they want us to go to someone and what we have to do through that process. Because like I've seen people go through issues and things been brushed under the rug because of technicalities of lack of proof. And that's something that's not acceptable.
Well, I can tell you with the faculty member, I'm very clear about what happens when the student tells me he or she has been sexually assaulted. And that I take that, I carry that forward. There's no lack of clarity what I would do with that. It would be the same thing if I was a police officer.
But David, for you it's easier because if you get fired, it's not a big deal. I'm the primary breadwinner in my family, okay? So this is a big deal. So for him, he has a retirement and everything else, so it's easy for him to say. For me, I put my developing of my family, I put everything on the line here for that, okay? So that's a big deal because I have two kids in college, right? And, you know, I'm home and everything. I put everything on the line for that, for standing up what I believe is right. But I just cannot carry this. This is a lot on the line, and I know other people who have shut down and left because they couldn't do that. This is like they didn't want to say anything because they were afraid then they cannot find employment anywhere else. You know what? It's risky filing a lawsuit because it immediately marks you as unemployable somewhere else in academia. So I didn't do that lightly. I really didn't know lightly. And it's unknowable because they never be said it will be cruel, it will be horrible because you will be enemy number one, you know. And that's why people don't stay at the university that they're suing. I mean, Omar Trunu left. I mean, everybody else who's done that before, they all leave. You know, I don't want to leave. It's wrong. I shouldn't have to leave. I didn't do anything wrong. That's one thing, and I think I can prove it. But one shouldn't have to leave because I care about this. And I think if I leave, it would be very easy to just kind of put it on the carpet and cover it up.
Do you think that's the atmosphere now? Is that what you're saying?
I think with the have somebody else try it and see what happens. You know, nobody else has tried it.
So what we're going to have, you know, I told you that I would go to the department, carry this forth. You have a student senate member here. He's going to carry this forth. That's at least a positive action things that we can do. So I mean.
Look, David, I sent an email to the chair and asked him a question just about what I thought was cronyism, okay? I just asked for clarification. Instead of getting a response, she forwarded it to the chancellor, and the chancellor reprimanded me for that and threatened discipline. For goodness sake, is it better? No, it's not. It's not. Because the people who are the problem, I'm sorry, and it's the administrator on the very, very top, the chancellor, the provost, the now new provost, are the problem. Okay? And, you know, they have the power and they can fire you. And it doesn't help them to say, well, you're tenured, you know, you cannot be fired, you have rights to hearings. Jeez, really? You know, I have a right to a grievance hearing, too. Within 21 days, they have to give me a grievance hearing. You know what? And I waited 11 months for one. So does anybody care about it? Do I have anywhere to go? Because the UW system tells me flat out, well, we sent the complaint back to UW Platteville, to the chancellor. He's the problem, seriously, you know? You know, and when I said, like, we have two corrupt people in the top administration, can you please look into this? I believe I have enough evidence. You know what they did? I have to complain about the provost to the chancellor, who just made a provost and knew everything like this was going on. So, no, it's not working. And no, the people are still there who had a problem. They're very top, and then they're getting rid of anybody who speaks up. That's what's been happening. The one thing is, I would rather than, also, anything that you post, we should post on a different site as well. So keep accountability. So when you send in a post, for example, to that website, because I don't think it shows it publicly, you should also document somewhere else, whether it's a Facebook account or somewhere else, so that there is accountability to what's been sent in. So we should have basically a parallel board to it. And then,
I'm happy to give out business cards.
Yeah.
If you're comfortable with being identified, if you want to send an email to me as well, my personal private email address, I'm happy to filter those responses and keep them set aside if there's ever a question of, hey, this complaint came forward or not. You know, I don't know if that's a solution.
Yeah, I think that would be good, because then, Student Senate could maybe track it. Thank you for coming.
I think we should ask the chancellor to attend. If we're saying that these issues go all the way to the top, I really want the chancellor and the provost to be here too.
Stay in touch.
Because it sounds like a lot of these issues with the chair of our department, they happened before her. But so I don't know if this is important. Obviously, we should be here. But going all the way up to the top, I think that's necessary.
Yeah, I think it's just we have to be, if you have to feel safe as faculty staff members to stand up for what we believe is right, even when we're wrong, you know? Because when we're wrong, then, you know, we shouldn't file, you know, just like you, when you report and, you know, when you file a police report and then the police maybe dismisses it and says, there's not enough evidence. That doesn't mean it's a frivolous lawsuit. You just feel like a frivolous complaint. You just say, we don't have enough to prosecute, right? When, for example, the district attorney says, I can't prosecute on that, or they shouldn't, it doesn't go after you either. So you have immunity, you have protection. We don't have that, or I don't feel I have it, right? And, interestingly, there are not really any other complaints coming forward. And why is it that these were always brought to me? Because students felt like, at least she's doing something, and I want to keep doing it. I mean, that's one of the reasons that I'm a thorn in the administration, because they know that I keep speaking up. Just like, when I felt something was wrong now, and there was something wrong with a federal grant application, I should be able to address that without it going right to the chancellor and right whacks me, and I'm threatened. It's ridiculous. Look, what did I do wrong? I mean, there were 3 weeks between the letter of direction and the complaint was a threat to get me fired. I was freaking on leave. I wasn't on contract. So what the heck did I do? Nothing, right? It was set up. They want to get me out so badly. They're just looking for me. All I have to do is, speak up on something and whack, because we don't want to hear from you. And I've been told that, okay? I've also been instructed by the chancellor that I am not supposed to use email. Because it leaves a paper trail, right? Come and talk to us. But by the way, the chancellor says, come and talk to me, and you don't have a right to record it. And I control who you can bring to the meeting. This is no, I'm not functioning. This is, if you cannot be held accountable, if I cannot bring enough witnesses so that there is a proper account of what happened, or if I cannot record it, I don't want to talk to you. Because nobody, you shouldn't be afraid to be held accountable. That's wrong. Right?
Do you believe you'll have repercussions now for this going on, since they're not here?
There's a good chance. But, again, if they fire me, I'll fight back. And it's just people said, it makes a stronger lawsuit, and I will be right back in their face maybe a year later, right? And it's just because I know they don't have anything on me.
But you are protected under state statute regarding...
Oh, geez, I've seen people getting fired who were also protected. It doesn't mean anything if it's not enforced.
What statute is it? I'm just curious.
Yeah, the whistleblower. I blew the whistle on stuff. I blew the whistle on what happened in the FI department. There were 2 reports filed. They called it a train wreck. And I said, listen, it's a train wreck, and our students have been paying for it. How about we get an outside agency in to investigate and see what never happened before Strobel came on board, okay? You know what happened? The then chair, interim chair Dalecki and Troop talked about terminating me, okay? That's the kind of whistleblower protection. Whistleblower doesn't help anything if you have to pay all the costs and you're taking on, a machinery of lawyers who have the guns at you And you know what? And when I was on sick leave, I almost died. They made fun of me. They kind of said, like, I just made this stuff up. You know, I'm sorry. I had 3 surgeries during that time, and they harassed me during that time too. Whatever they learned, I was in the hospital afterwards. They did it even worse when I announced to them that my father was dying. That's when the worst harassment happened. When I left to kind of bury him, that's when the harassment happened. They timed it so because they knew she's very vulnerable.
And those facts are in the suit that you have before the university, right?
Yes. And there's evidence for it. So
what I get concerned about is kind of like mixing the past with the present, you know?
But you said like the bad people are gone. I'm telling you, they're not gone. They just they've moved up in power. They're not gone. And Kay would just left on his own with tons of money and recognition and all that. So he was not held accountable. Nobody there who did this was held accountable. The only person who gets blamed is me. That's wrong.
What I'm concerned about is the integrity of the department today. I mean, that's why I'm here.
Well, integrity, how much integrity is there without accountability, without openness, without transparency? It's easy to kind of say, like, everything's happened. You just shut up and take it. Just like he said, well, it's okay to be called mentally ill. He is judging whether you're violated or not. No, it's not. Do you want that if you're sexually assaulted? Yes, you said something, it doesn't matter. You know what? Because you don't think it's bad enough to be called mentally ill. It is to me. I have 2 kids in this town, okay? You do not say this kind of shit about me, okay? Absolutely not, and I have a right to speak up against it. So, I don't know, do you have kids? For me, it matters, right? So, you don't have the right. It's a crime in the state of Wisconsin, okay? Defamation is a freaking crime, okay? And then the chances is, how dare you said somebody committed a crime. For goodness sake, I have evidence, including they now provost saying it happened. The former HR director investigated and said, it did happen, and said it has to go to the chancellor. You know, this is the kind of stuff that happens.
Well,
they're committing crimes against me.
Defamation, we're talking about the district attorney's office. You go to the district attorney's office, and you have your case where you can either prove you have a defamation case or not.
No, it's not if they're coming up too because they know that person. This is kind of like, this is what happens. If the person formerly worked as a probation officer in there, this is another cover up. You know what? At least I have a right to file a police report and I shouldn't be punished by the chancellor and I shouldn't be threatened with termination. But because I filed. And that's what happened. That's what happened. And you know what I was also told when I said, like, no, I was discouraged from filing a police report, and then I was told by the lieutenant that, you know what, we will not even investigate. We will not even investigate, right? Can you imagine you go there and you've been violated and you come there and they say, like, yeah, just so you know, you can file, but, you know, we will not investigate. And guess what? I have it in writing. I have it in freaking writing. So if you don't believe it, and it happened after, no, it happened after the civil suit. This is after. Yes.
Okay. So, what seems to be strange, I'm not an attorney, but I've worked with a lot of attorneys over my career, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they would think that this was a good idea that you try to rehash the case while you've got a pending case before the court. It seems like you...
Well, you know what? It's a good idea when a chancellor is trying to terminate me. Okay? It's also not a good idea, and he shouldn't do that, because that's flat out retaliation. So I don't know where his counselors are.
You're about to be fired right now by the university.
Yes, he's threatening me that.
You come for this, to try to get some support that at least the student body and people know that just egregious thing that happened, right?
What happened to, we're like trying to figure out things we were going to do, like actually do something, and all of a sudden we're back to like
back to the
case.
Civil
suit.
Good point.
This is exactly the thing we cannot be distracted by.
Yeah.
This is exactly.
You got a good
point. Thing that I was talking about. We were talking about things that actual things that we were going to do moving forward, and now we're back to talking about what's in the suit, what's not in the suit,
mm-hmm.
who said what, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's right, that's true. We were having a list going, so did anyone have anything to add to that list?
What do we have so far?
Yeah. So, this starts with that we, you all definitely want to request another forum that would actually be scheduled to be heard, would include people such as the chancellor.
Probably another forum soon. I think that
right.
would be important to add.
Yep.
We don't want this pushed off until we're all graduated.
Yep.
Hopefully graduated.
Stressing the accountability piece within the department, within the university as a whole. Going to the, how are we protecting how we protected sexual assault or sexual predators, and how do we place systems or create systems that people can report them sexual assault incidents effectively, and who do we go to. On that note, I do have one question, because you mentioned you as a faculty member felt clear with your reporting structure. Would you be willing to detail that for the group with if a student comes to you tomorrow with...
When I was indoctrinated into all new faculty, I had to go through training, sexual harassment policies and diversity, so all that. It was very, very clear that I didn't see my job changing much from when I was a cop. I mean, when I report something, I have responsibility to that quote.
So who do you report to? For the clarity of the students that would be reporting this, they shouldn't have a right to know where their report is going. Who do you report it to?
Well, I would take that to make sure that the chair, and then there's contact people within the university for that. But I see that I would have a responsibility of overseeing this whole thing, seeing that I was the point of taking the report. And I said that I would do everything I could do to get a department meeting and we could come together and see, even if the lawyer is saying that we can't do these things. So, I for one would like to be able to walk away tonight with a sense of on a high note that we're coming together and we're gonna do this now and we've got some things to do and not kind of like, as you know, Matt said, go over this complaint and get them together again.
So continuing on my list, that's obviously an important piece of students knowing where the reports of this type of misconduct goes and how it is seriously handled. Issues within the CJ department about the assault and harassment being brought to the department chair first and how that compares against other departments within the university. The grievance process and how both students and faculty alike can file grievances and appeals for decisions and actions that have been taken by the university. And then hitting home on the sexual assault, having that education piece is good. I think it was Jessica that mentioned this, but we have to be more educated on how do we report, who do we report to, where do we report, and how do we make sure that's effective and heard. So that's what's on the list currently. So if there are other things, I'm happy to add those.
I just have a quick bit of advice going on from East Side, where we want to end on a positive note and a proactive note to move forward with this. You know, first of all, is if they ever do reschedule a forum or something like that this semester, hopefully, go to it. We obviously had a ton of people come in here, but we can obviously get a lot more. We have, what did she say, 900 CJ students. Every one of them should be there, just in terms of a learning experience, but also a personal idea. The second thing that I, even just with some of the friends that I have on Facebook, when this article came out, people were posting like crazy. It's like one side of the story, all this stuff, and they're just posting like, just blah, 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 typing like crazy. If you're going to type something, say something to someone, anything like that, think it through, write it down, go over it. Don't just send out a random tweet or a status or something like that. Like, try and be educated when you're talking about this. Don't just spew it out. You have to make what you want to be heard. You want to make sure you're conveying that message clearly. And it doesn't have to be 15 pages long. You can condense that, make it very clear and very to the point. That's a big thing, at least for me. If any of you are friends with me on Facebook, I don't post a lot, but if I do, it's short, and I try to get my point across, which is really what we need to do here, is be precise, which is good, writing down stuff. So like, we have a huge, tons of people saying stuff, now we're condensing it, getting more exact and to the point, and then hopefully doing something with it after this night.
So in terms of action items from students, then, just so I'm clear with what my plan is going forward, I already, at the start of this meeting, when I found out I was canceled, I submitted a request to meet with administration at the senior level, so I will be meeting tomorrow morning with senior administration, hopefully including Dr. Gormley, should be in attendance at that meeting. So that'll be an 8:30 a.m. meeting tomorrow morning that I'll have, so we'll be acting right away on this. I will then bring it to my executive staff tomorrow evening we meet, and then hopefully we'll have formal resolutions addressing and requesting some of these things brought to Student Senate on Monday. That would be November 7th, I believe. We meet 5 to 7 p.m. University North Room, so if you want to come and support this, it always helps to have students that are passionate about that. It'd be Monday, November 7th, 5 to 7 p.m.
So you might want to send out an email about that?
Yeah, is there a newsletter that you guys do?
I can certainly send out an all-campus email that would touch on this. That would be helpful.
I've got one more, actually, for you to touch on. On Strobel, who's our, she's our department chair, we have 900 students, that's what I'm hearing. The email only went out to 405 students. Mm-hmm.
Also, I want that to go out to like all the professors.
Did you get an email about when this was happening? Like this one? Okay.
You did? I didn't.
Yeah, and I looked at the list too, and it didn't seem that long ago.
Yeah.
There this wasn't sent to staff.
Okay.
The first announcement was sent, and then
Oh, okay, yeah. I want it sent to all CJ staff. It can be sent to all administration.
Why not just all students? And
yeah,
all
I think
faculty.
This concerns more than just CJ.
Because this does affect the image of the university, which does affect how our degree will look to other employers. So like it doesn't. This mainly affects yes the CJ majors, but it will also affect other majors in other departments.
Plus, I also want to add in, it affects how the town looks, too. This is my hometown. This university is kind of what
defines
put us on the map, defines this town. So having this come out as public knowledge 4 years after the fact and knowing all the stuff that's going on, it doesn't make us look good either. And I'm sure it's not helping the university's reputation throughout the town's residents either.
So could we reach out to the town, too, if they wanted to come? I mean, I feel like this...
I'd say that would probably be a good idea.
Yeah.
Get everybody involved. Because I'm sure there are probably people throughout the town that have questions, too.
Absolutely. Find a venue that can fit everyone.
The one in the lecture halls can fit a lot of people.
Yeah.
London can fit, one, six, five.
Yeah, that's another thing. This is kind of a smaller room.
Yeah, I don't think they're
expecting
this turnout, to be honest.
Yeah, we had like a lot of people in there.
Well, I don't think they were expecting to show up in the first place. This is why they put us on one away.
Yeah.
Kind of makes
sense. Yeah, I read the room and I'm like, really?
Kind of makes more sense because there are bigger rooms in Ellsberg.
Yeah.
And I think a big thing is why I also felt like this is important to bring this up, because that's what David addressed, is because, you know, we have a situation that I think is unbearable, that is wrong, and students should be able to come to someone. We shouldn't be waiting until maybe the courts hear it or not, okay, because they move sluggishly slow. I mean, like, you know... There are people going to school now. We had people graduating, and before that, even was in the summary judgment phase. Okay, so there are people who are affected right now, and I think that's important. I'm not saying that you're not deciding on my case or anything, but we're deciding on what happens when a student comes forward with a complaint, and how is it handled, and are we as faculty staff members comfortable taking that, or we going, oh, please, don't do that, because I don't want to get fired. I don't want to, you know, and not just fired, but also, like, pressure to then leave, because there are methods to get you out. And that's why it's important to bring this up, so that we can speak up on your behalf, and you feel comfortable coming to us, and that it's handled properly. That's important.
So when the positive door can be followed tonight?
Yeah,
I've had
7 hours.
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sorry, you guys got to deal with that. You know,
no, I think it's really admirable what you're doing standing up. Because I, even not just on a university level, but I think just in general in our society, if you don't stand up, you get walked all over. And I, you know, experienced something on a smaller level where I was having an issue with a professor this semester actually. And I went to the head of the department, or I went to my advisor first, and then I went to the head of the department. But then when I went, and she scheduled a meeting for me with the professor I had an issue with, and there was a bit of retaliation with that. And just that's on a smaller scale, but going to a bigger scale, you don't stand up and leave it, nothing's going to change.
And, you know, that's why I want to stay here, because I want to signal to the public that this is, I'm not saying this is a bad place. I mean, I want to be, I have my daughter here, right? I mean, just like, I mean, I'm proud that she's here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have fantastic students here. I really believe in the belief in people that are here and teaching and students that we have. So that's why I want to stay. Because I think if I leave, then I show everybody, oh, this is a happy place. No, I'm staying because I think it's a good place.
We need more people.
It's worth fighting for.
To stand their ground.
Yeah.
And not just get pushed under the rug
and just
why, bend over when you know they're told to. I think
that's why I have to speak up, because otherwise they could have pushed me out. And And if I'm pushed out, that was my credibility.
Yeah.
Because now she's just a disgruntled person who got fired, and of course she's kind of making all these claims.
And especially, I think, even, you know, bringing gender into this, being a female in such a male-dominated...
Would it be different if it was a female professor who passed it on to the male student?
It would certainly be different if I was a male professor speaking, bringing this up.
Yeah.
I would not have been given that kind of thing.
And so,
absolutely.
I honestly, that, like, that even more admiration that, you know, you're able to and persevere through this for 4 years and not give up after so long, because you know you're right, and I think that's really
and
important.
It is a good place. I like this place.
Yeah.
I really love it here. You know, I don't want to leave. This is a good place, and I want to, and this is so important to me, because especially when it goes to court, and especially when it goes out in public, I wanna be able to tell people I'm not leaving because I love this place.
Yeah.
It is a good place. But there are bad things happening at this good place. We can clean it up. So that, you know, I mean, that's kind of what we will demonstrate it to others. It's just like in policing, when you have some bad police officers, bad things happen. It doesn't mean the other police officers are bad.
Yeah.
It's just like, we got to clean it up. We got to fix it. And we can model that.
Yeah.
And I want Platform to be recognized in a positive way.
I had a question. So, I was supposed to be having an advisory appointment tomorrow with Marcus.
Yeah.
Is it all right if I switch? I don't feel comfortable.
Absolutely.
Because I had an email from you today about that you were on like a committee for advising.
No, it's like it is. You're happy to switch.
Okay.
And I tell this to all my students too. You know, nobody should be offended or have a problem with if a student wants to switch advisor, because that's something we want you to be comfortable with. So you're welcome to switch, and you know, accommodate. We have Ed Ross helping too with advising, and I just shared that kind of with my advisees so far, because he offered and he says, like, hey, you know, if you... So absolutely. We want
thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Nice, please. Thank you for coming, Nana.
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And if you...
Mm-hmm. No, you were
the one being awesome here. Well,
no, you missed the puts. Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then that one, that was struggling. She's like, please stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's okay. I think it went actually really well.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Thank you. And I don't think I have anything in the back. I have something in the office or something. If you need
just
something.
She needs like a meal.
Yeah, I have a sugar, but that doesn't help. Molly won't help. Okay, yeah.
No.
Do you want to give that for her just to walk home, or does she want cheese puffs? I have them in my office, so she'll be okay.
She'll be okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to take the lolly just in case? Is it sugar that she needs? A little bit of sugar.
No.
You can have that.
My mom is offering you a lollipop.
I have cheese puffs upstairs, so I want you to be okay. But here. Yeah. Thank you for coming.
Thanks.
I only expected one person, so I only brought one lolly. I'm sorry. So.
No, she just like be bad.
I just want to say thank you for standing up and saying what you believe in.
Thank you for coming.
You know.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
No problem. I think we met once before, but it wasn't very long.
James is the one who called Dad asking for me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm also the one who like said, you know, that you have a cool accent.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, just because you know, my dad also has an accent. You know, he's from England, but I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
I like accents.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I wish I had one.
I'm very conscientious. I actually tried to. I wanted to take lessons where I could get rid of my accent. So.
Oh.
So yeah, I was very conscious about it. So. Because you know, a big thing is some students had trouble understanding me, and so I felt really bad about that. It's okay. Good.
And they ask about real examples, and I'm not a criminal justice major, so I go with the examples I hear, and a lot of them are from you. So
I know, once in a while, I like to use my daughter's as example too, and I get a tweet. I got a tweet from my younger daughter Sarah. It's like, you're talking about me in class. It's like, wow, that quick. I mean, I get to kind of.
Yeah.
I actually haven't heard much about me, actually.
A few.
I had to hear from Josh.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I know.
Oh, never mind. I'm not going to talk about that here.
Okay.
My sister's a punk. That's what I need to know.
Sibling rivalry.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, but thank you, guys. Thank you for coming. Thank you for, you know, it's just, I mean, again, I really mean it that I appreciate it, but it was a little bit bittersweet because I am concerned about you. I don't want you. You know, but I think the more guys you mobilize, the more power you have, and the less you have to fear. So, and I'm doing it too because they are really. I know from other people who came to me and said this happened to me too, and but I cannot talk about it. And the reporter got some calls too, and says, but I cannot come forward with my name because they know they will be gone.
Going into education, yeah. I was telling people that, like, if something like this happened and I would lose my job over it, I would gladly do it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm there for the students,
mm-hmm.
and I want to be that person that they can trust
yeah.
that they go to. And if that means that administration is going to hit me because of it, then I'll take it because
mm-hmm.
I'm doing it for my students.
Well, you still have your integrity. I think that's kind
yeah.
of becoming.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, exactly. Thanks. But it's, you know, I don't wanna make it so that other people who do the right thing too would lose their job. I don't wanna make that call for anybody else. So that's something I'm concerned about.
Well, that's like
and,
a concern
you know,
that the students
this, my decision.
Is that they're like, I can't go to someone because they're gonna lose their job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't
and
want
like,
you to feel
crazy,
like.
Which
yeah.
is really crazy.
And that's why I kept it under wraps for so long. I mean, I didn't share it for a reason, you know. And even in my department, they didn't know. They just heard one side. So it was always just one side, and I didn't say anything. And it was very, very hard. But, you know, I didn't want to burden
it. The problem that we were having, too, is, like, that we are only hearing now your side, and we're disappointed by that because, like, we believe you.
Mm-hmm.
But we want the school to say something.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why I look at how many people showed up here.
And that's why I asked, you know, that was one of my frustrations that I asked repeatedly, you know, for asked questions, and they weren't answered. I mean, like, you know, it's just like, I want a dialogue. I wanted to hear. You know, let's just kind
of
talk this out. And I didn't get that.
How many students in here were criminal justice? Because a lot of students spoke up and said, I'm not criminal justice.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's something that anyone on campus would be concerned about and should
mm-hmm.
be concerned about. Because they're going like, okay, it's happening in the criminal justice
mm-hmm.
department.
Yeah.
What is it going to do in my department?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's just something that happened in the criminal justice department. And it deals with those people. But the issue
mm-hmm.
No,
I mean,
it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah, I've had like other professors in non-criminal justice classes like openly hit on girls in class.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
except only
in Platteville,
can you? I wore a gray outfit, gray sweatpants, gray sweatshirt with a hood, and I got catcalled. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I look disgusting today. Like, you know, it's. In Platteville, you know.
See, only you can pull that off.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I couldn't pull this look off. I mean, like, you know,
like,
for goodness sake,
saying,
I'm trying.
I was saying, like, I have to go to get food, and I was telling him, like, I feel really bad. Like, I have to go, but I don't want to walk back for myself.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
And I had night classes I got done at 9 p.m., and I was walking with my pepper spray in my hand and on the phone with my mom, you know. And
yeah,
every,
I'd always have my
every
phone,
two minutes,
like, I was
like,
texting
okay,
or calling
are you
someone.
By now?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the sad. See, I can't. I know. Like, I personally don't can't experience this sadly because you know this, and I don't really have much say in this. I'm just saying though, that shouldn't exist. I don't think.
I'm saying that what I was going to say is that you can't experience that specific situation,
yes.
but you can get the same feeling from another situation.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, my psych professor got a very uneasy feeling when one night somebody said. A psych professor, when he was a student in psych, he had keys to the psych building. And somebody came to him and said, oh, I don't have my keys. It was, but there seemed to have spoken about the time, and he had to go in anyway.
Yeah, and
anyways.
You know, again,
like, okay.
you know, if you need a place,
the door,
afterwards,
and they're in the elevator,
in
the and he's sitting there thinking
okay.
that he's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's still
last semester,
hearing that's a thing that like all girls basically are thinking.
Yeah,
you know, I feel
that's
like,
problem.
Yeah, that like that should not be ingrained in anybody's head
at all.
It's
something that you may have experienced once before, but just
that's.
They
but I don't think it's on the same level. Probably. I know that.
It is something
that
when I teach I've had parents ask me, "Have you ever felt
really appreciated?"
And I would say, "No, that I don't I haven't felt unsafe walking, but I can't talk.
He was actually terminated because he challenged.
I would feel more unsafe if I wasn't aware and wasn't the type of person that I am. But I tell people other things they can do. I'm like, our campus is very safe, but like any college, there are problems.
Well, I think it's just with the amount of guys. That's what it is. And I think they misstated the ratio.
It used to be
1-4.
When I started,
Internet
it was
7-4.
Internet
websites
are
He had a beef with the other chair, the interim chair, because he challenged him for the position. So he got the votes of the department because nobody knew about what was going on. So they voted for him to be chair, and they're lucky he didn't let go of the chair. So
when I was DMing,
that's really
in the student center, the first semester, it was mostly guys in the group. Me and Megan were the two girls. And usually it was James, and I think it was Max and David who walked with me, and the other three would walk with Megan.
Constructive criticism, if you say how bad they are, and say how one can do it better.
But they would do it.
I mean, criticism only makes sense.
So,
when it's constructive. He's not somebody who works in this and tries to make it better.
Not every guy is.
They were from our church group.
They were really busy that night, so it was a campus police officer that walked with me, and he was super friendly.
Yeah.
And we walked back, and we were talking, and he was telling me how he almost didn't work here, but then he chose this school because he talked to some of the students while he was here, and he really liked it.
Yeah.
And he liked their impression of the school.
Yeah.
So,
also, like, one thing that I'm really confused about, so they... Deb Rice said that you canceled a class, and she took that all the way up to the chancellor or to the then dean. Which like baffles my mind because I have one class, great professor. I've had it half as many times because I understand there are circumstances. You know what I mean? The fact that that won't go with that, there won't be any repercussions. I can guarantee it. You know what I mean? And one class, like that's insane.
Yeah.
Like,
the fact that she's probably canceled how many times too, I think it's just really hypocritical. It was just pretext for trying to fire me.
That's really what it was.
Yeah.
I did have, though,
a professor that he's a high school teacher, art teacher, and he teaches my art methods course. And he was going to give us off the Thursday before fall break because it's a Thursday night class. We go from 5 to 8.
They almost give you off on those things. Like,
they
used this Thanksgiving, you're done at five,
which is what it usually is for breaks.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to give us off. The campus emailed him and told him, you have to have class.
They do that for people who they want fired. That's the reason they do it.
Well, and he's not coming back next semester.
So
he already said that he's not.
So they can do anything in their power to say, we have a reason for this.
He said, basically, he told us, like, he'd gladly come back, but they're giving his class to someone else. And that's the only class.
I've had a professor, who would be like, oh, we're not having class. And, like, also other times that's like, oh, we're not having class. Or next week we're not having class. I'm like, how does that make any sense?
I had an art professor that would walk in the class and be like, I'll be here to help you, and then walk out and never come back.
There's no classes for Professor Pitcher's class that I have this week. Only reviews where we go in with him and discuss our paper.
Well, the fact that they can make those
decisions, but you know they're not running that by the chair, that's still an education.
You're an educated adult. I don't think you should have to run that by another educated adult. I think you can make that decision.
Besides, it's the professor that is teaching it. They should know, like, how it works.
And what if they're ahead?
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. And it's like, okay, people who are, they're more administrative. They don't know exactly the workings of the class or how to teach. Why are they running it like puppets? Like,
well,
as if they know how to do it.
I had you for two classes. You were missing all
the class. And it's just, you know, even if it's for Thanksgiving and students ask, can we kind of go? You know, I try to, because I understand there's a driving schedule, it's just, I'll be there. But, you know, if
exactly.
you don't hold it against you, or if there's something important, then, you know, this is kind of something you can take with you and you can kind of mail in or something.
Yeah,
so I don't want to, I want to be reasonable because,
a lot of
know.
Things make sense
mm-hmm.
now that all, you know what I'm saying? From, like, things that you ask, like, you haven't done anything wrong, like, so much. Like, professors that have no actions against them are doing things that are way worse. And,
mm-hmm. But, you know, that's not why I'm doing it. It's
yeah.
just because I believe that, you know, I don't want to just cancel class because, you know, even if they're just, like, people there, and see, you know, then I'm still there, you know. It's just like, and then we do something else, or then we make a tutoring session out of it or so. But, you know, if for some reason for travel plans it's better for the other, I don't want to punish you and say, like, you know, everybody gets a failing grade or something. You know, I want to be reasonable because Thanksgiving, for instance, is the main travel time, so and
yeah.
some of you have to travel pretty far, so... I wanna be understanding. You know,
so
just,
I drive 2.5 hours, and if I get late in the day, I have sugar problems and can't drive.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
like.
And you're stuck on the highway and stuff,
yeah.
and it sucks.
So
yeah.
like,
last
I didn't go home
good.
Over
mm-hmm.
fall break because
mm-hmm.
I had that one night class, but like, it doesn't pay for me to go home on Friday.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a when I have finals on Friday, you know,
you
if I can somehow move it forward, but you know, but I'll be there. I will go to a classroom because, you know, like, it's scheduled for Friday, so if somebody wants to take it, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I try to kind of accommodate you, especially before Christmas
yeah,
or, you know, or something.
Yeah, like,
because
it's like Christmas
yeah.
Eve.
When
yeah.
I can.
My finals, every year, I've had only one final or two finals, and I always feel like they'll have one on Friday. This year, I have one the last block on Friday. It's a mandatory final for an art critique. We just have to take in our pieces to talk about them with the professor.
For like 15 minutes? Wow.
And
oh
it goes from 3 to 5.
Oh, gosh.
And I have to drive home after that. And when I start getting to like 7 o'clock, I get weird
and
I'm behind the wheel.
And don't the dorms like close at a certain point, too?
Yeah,
yeah.
You might want to, if I hurry, I'd go to students with disabilities and be like, hey, man, I can't do this.
But
I don't have
but if you want, I can try and give you a ride. Just if you want, I can try and give you a ride. We live in the same direction.
I have
direction.
A car. I have to take my
yeah,
car.
Fair enough. You don't
that's
want.
That's true. That's like
yeah.
a mom. That's like a mom.
Yeah.
Your
yeah.
home.
Yeah.
Well, if you trust me,
yeah. he can maybe tow you. I don't
yeah.
know.
But it's like I
yeah,
have to drive 2.5 hours back.
Yeah.
I wanted to
take
that
for a day, like, and then go back in the morning.
Yeah,
it's the 23rd is the last day though.
Yeah.
I do.
That
my family
so
does Christmas on the 24th.
Southwest remains open.
We have Christmas Eve. Christmas Day celebration because my family always does it on Christmas Eve on the Ellenbecker side, so that on the Smith side, which is my mom's side, we can have it on Christmas Day. And
yeah,
then so the Snyder
yeah.
side on the other side can have it on Christmas Day.
See, that's how you do it.
So,
yeah.
like,
that's
I
how you
have
two.
To go
that's how we do it.
I only have one because my dad's in England, you know.
Okay.
Right.
yeah.
So you should have my mom's side.
I have 5 exams on Tuesday.
Yeah,
two at the same time.
I also hate that, but when it's just like that.
I don't have any real exams during the finals except for maybe art history, but sometimes he does it on Friday.
History is a Monday.
It is a Monday, okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes he does it the Friday before for his scheduling, because he has so many exams he has to do. And, like,
Jesse,
none
like
of my support. None
okay.
of my classes
mm-hmm.
have, like, an exam. I basically have art history, and that's it. But I do actually really need, like, actual
food. You guys
need
food, okay.
If you want, I can get you something at the house.
No,
this
is
okay, that's true. Like, I don't even like the house, probably.
Well, thanks again, guys.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for
your
time. I'm about half German. Yes, thank you. And we'll do whatever we need to do. So I'm pretty annoying, so just let me know what you need and I'm more than
before. I'm not rubbing off.
I would be honored if you rub them off.
Oh god.
the way it has to say, all right? Because it's what the... I will. I will.
Because I swear to God, I'll just do this pro bono. I swear to God. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of one of the things I'm
My husband says, like, you know, we should go to law school. We cannot,
yeah, you would save you know, some money then.
Yeah. 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 It's just like, you know, because this is just, you know, you
it's
see
so
the tip of the iceberg. There's
so
much more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think I need you to hold me to that. That's,
I will.
That's what I'm.
I will.
This is bullshit, for lack of better words. Thank you so much. I will see you soon. Thank you.
Take care.